Welcome to Crippled System, episode 22. My name is Jim, and I have a cold.
God damn it, Jim. 21.
21. Because it can drink now.
And I'm Brian.
Yeah. Our podcast can finally drink.
Our podcast
can
drink. And I'm
Katie. And I'm Jeremy.
I'm Nathan.
Oh, God damn it. 21.
And that's 21.
And Major 21. Tusk, Andy.
Yes.
There, was that quick enough, Brian?
That was pretty efficient.
Perfect.
Right. Well, so, I knew
you bullied through. Like, people were gibbering, and you're just like, I'm Brian.
Move all right, on. So, new contest winners.
Whoa, okay, then.
Wait, hold on. Jesus.
Oh, hold your horses.
He said we were jumping through the intros.
Listen,
don't
listen.
Let him see the list.
Seriously, he's peeking at the list.
That's why you're supposed to sit over here.
Yes, I know.
Exactly.
Nate's the director. You're Randy Bowe.
Should we do what he says. Should we start doing, like, we're going to talk about this podcast?
Yeah.
Wait.
Yes.
I have a small announcement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Brian.
Happy birthday, Brian.
Yay! It's so exciting to get old.
He's old. Ancient.
He's
one
47.
More year.
No.
He is a year away from the terrible doctor's visit, though.
Yep. They start shoving longer shit in your ass the older you get.
Instead of carrots.
So this is not the G-rated episode.
So about the G-ratedness.
Is that when you move from fruits to vegetables?
No. No. I wish it was only things that small.
Gotta stay regular.
The fruit turns into a water ballot.
I'm confused because on one hand he said it was the terrible doctor visit. On the other hand he said it's the one where they put things in his butt. And knowing what I know about Brian's penchants, I thought he'd be excited about that
visit. I don't
like
visit. 6 feet to 20 feet long things going in my ass.
Oh, yeah.
5 feet's really where he cuts it off.
Cameras in your butt.
Yep. Once you start hitting four, it's the thing they do.
I've got an idea for the first video podcast.
They do a video cam. You can watch it.
Oh, jeez.
So,
yeah.
All right, well,
somebody did that. Was
anyway.
That like Oprah or something?
Yeah. Oh, that's cute.
Oh, God.
Brian's colon, episode one video.
Yeah.
Last episode.
Friends and I went into an adult store one time.
And it has someone's colon?
For
I like
giggles.
Where the story's going.
And there was a dildo that was, like, as tall as I was and, like, as thick as my arm and just, like, black. Like, what would you use that for? Like, you just put
a coat rack? Yeah. That would be an awesome
decoration.
Coat rack.
A pool noodle?
Yes!
Best pool noodle ever.
Oh, my God.
Like, that has just got to be a gag gift at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, clearly.
You know how many of those they probably sell a year?
One, maybe.
No, like
maybe.
100. Because
yes.
there's like multiple birthdays a week. And if it was Mary's birthday and I was back there, that's what I would buy
oh,
her.
Oh, jeez.
You could always put it on the hood of your car, too. See, Idiocracy.
Oh, big, my goodness.
It's a build-your-own dildozer.
Use it as a pool cue.
Yeah. It'd be a little bit too...
Right now,
a nice stylish shawl
plus 30-second button.
I like it. You could honestly keep it in your purse and then use it as a weapon.
I could
it's
keep
as tall
in
as
my,
she is.
It is really big.
She is a big purse.
Too big for a purse.
Too big for a purse.
You and Jeremy's
over
a
your
purse
shoulder like a baseball
time.
Bat.
I would say, though, if you were carrying that around, I think people would leave you alone.
Yes, they would. Including your friends.
Only the wrong kind of people would approach me, I feel like.
Just put a little hat on them, take them to the bar with you.
All of a sudden, Brian rolls down his window. Hey, what are you? Oh.
Hey, Katie, who's your cute friend?
I don't get that one.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, moving on.
Wow. That's the Shea family motto. Seriously, if you were a house in Westeros, that would be on your crest. Moving on.
Hey, it's better than
what would your symbol be?
Speaking
for moving on, would it just be like three arrows or something?
No, just like this, like a finger doing this.
Just a covered wagon.
Speaking of Westerosi family mottos, I had a fun little moment with Andy one time. He was talking about this band he really likes, and he said they've got like the coolest name ever on one of their albums. It's Unbent, Unbowed, Unbroken. It's the coolest thing I've ever heard. And I'm like, you mean like House Martell?
Yeah.
And then he slowly figured out that the whole entire album was Game of Thrones themed because they had songs called like Take the Black and Guard
nice.
The Wall and stuff like that, and he had not caught on to any of it.
No,
well,
because
Take the
he
Black
hadn't read
could
the books.
Stand for something
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
I mean, we were kind of just talking about that.
Jesus.
Oh, my God. We're done with that topic yet.
Not
actually. I actually zoned out and not heard that, so I'm okay.
Wow.
That was a stretch, but I'm going to allow it.
A stretch?
The judges. Son of a bitch. You know,
if you had let me jump to contest winners, none of this would have happened.
Yes, it would
have.
This was always going to happen.
I don't know that that's true.
Something like this was going to happen. There was never going to be an episode of this that wasn't horrific.
We
this
could
is a good
about...
one for your nephew. Don't worry about it.
Well, yeah. He needs to learn about life-size, not life-size, human-size dildos. Dildos. Like some kind of weird Star Trek species of the Dildonians.
So we could also apologize to our fans, too, for missing last week.
Yes.
I think we should say you're welcome to
Yeah, considering how this week's going. That is a valid point.
I think we're fine.
We did have several people that were very sad we didn't podcast. That is true.
I was sad we didn't podcast, but just everybody had stuff they had. It
was a busy weekend.
A whole bunch of stuff came up. Two of us were out of town, and then the other ones had busy, weird work schedules. And
my car broke down. It was fantastic.
My car broke down. So
it's been an enjoyable experience all the way around.
It would have been Andy just talking to himself.
Clothes went exceptionally well this week.
What was exceptionally well?
Close.
It's an accounting thing.
When we close all of our books for the month, it went exceptionally well. There were very few adjustments.
Oh, I thought you meant clothes, like C-L-O-T-H-E-S.
Clothing. Yeah.
I was like, our clothes went well this weekend?
No. Me and Katie's clothes went well together today.
We organized. I don't
Katie
know
and Jim are
feels.
Accidentally wearing the same shirt today.
Maybe they're wearing each other's shirts.
That would be great.
Oh.
Scandal.
Yeah.
We probably wear the same size shirt.
You probably do.
That's sad.
So, Jeremy, you had something you wanted to talk about?
So, contest winners. So, this most recent Swedish Muslim, Jeremy, he was nice enough to read a psychic vampire. We had several people get it correct. Some of them said it was Gareth's spell. Some said it was Lord Tyrant Hexorus's spell. One person realized they both have it. So, you know,
that's
kudos
good.
To them.
For accuracy's purpose, he was holding the Scorn book when he was reading it.
Ah, all right. So, good deal.
For what it's worth.
Spell is terrible on each of them, though.
No, it's good on PXE.
Really?
Because that spell is good because it's if you like Igorshe, you cast the spell and then you take a point of damage. Their spell, you cast it, then you take a point of damage before the spell even happens.
Yeah, he prevents you from battle mages.
Yeah,
don't get
that's
that
pretty
spell
cool.
Ever.
I guess.
Oh, they can. They just.
I've never cast it with Gareth, but maybe I just haven't been in a good situation.
Yeah,
for
the
it.
Fact that it kills before the spell goes off.
Also, his speed is
like
can't
druids
cast spells, so that's kind of not really.
That is weird. Yeah, Scornergy on Gareth.
It gives you a choice, kind of. I mean, it's kind of like Orin Midwinter. He can do no spells, or he can do cast spells, or he can just miss when he does the chain lightning.
He can either do no spells or he can miss.
Yeah.
So I mean, those are pretty good options.
So our winner, though, we rolled off for it, and the winner was Alex Sutton. So Alex Sutton, if you want to send us your address, we will get you your win. And then he also Alex Sutton specifically less than 3 Jim. So congratulations, Jim.
I don't know if I'm okay with that.
We did have one set of yoga pants pictures at Nathan's request this last week.
Oh, with me in yoga pants?
It was sent to him by Anthony Tortorici. I think Andy's actually opening it up so you can see the gloriousness that is the yoga pants picture.
All right, so in a few minutes you'll hear me.
Yeah, in a few minutes you'll hear Nathan's horrible cries.
A few minutes.
I had a picture of me in yoga pants too, but I didn't
enjoy
it,
having previously seen the picture. But you know, whatever works for you.
Oh, that's
not
a
too
winner.
Bad. That's
hot.
I was expecting worse.
That's no moon.
Oh God. So anyway, that was kind of fun.
I'm assuming that's not Anthony.
That is. I hope not, for Anthony's sake. I kind of hope Anthony wasn't there for that, because that was terrible.
I tell you what, though, this person could rock the serious Aztec.
No, the yoga pants prevent that.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's true.
Then we had the Facebook contest.
Yep.
And our winners there were Chris Sewer? Probably not Sewer.
Chris Sewer.
From Springfield, Illinois, I believe.
No, not
Springfield, St. Louis.
Okay.
I meant St. Louis.
Okay.
And
St. Louis, Illinois.
He is the one that had that ridiculously awesome Trollbud Army at War Machine Weekend.
Oh, so he was the Trollbud Army. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
I actually,
winning models the champions?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
congrats
then Eric Festa was
and
the other one.
What did Eric have?
He I don't know what Menoff model it was, but it was the one with the glowing eyes.
Oh, that one
was
really, really
Krios.
Cool.
Krios.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they did a really, really nice job, so congrats to them. And then there were several others that had honorable mentions. I know Menoth John. Fantastic. But there were a few that I thought should get more likes, but then so that happens. But it's fun.
Yeah, there were several really good ones. If you didn't get a chance to check out the pictures on the Facebook page, there are some really cool ones.
There's like 60 different pictures.
Oh, yeah, there's a ton of people entered. So thanks for everybody that did. Thanks for everybody that voted, quote-unquote.
And they were all good. I mean, I didn't see anybody put anything up, and I was like, wow, that is crap. Please don't sell me our page with it.
Yeah, they were all good.
Everybody,
I mean, there was
a good
time of them I thought could have won.
Yeah,
you know?
There were and there were several. I have to admit, when I saw the Menoth caster, he wound up getting second, but when I saw that, I was like, oh, man, this is going to run away with it. So the fact that somebody beat him is, like, I actually haven't looked at the recent stuff, so I haven't seen that.
The
picture,
Choke and Champs are
I need to see those
the
Champs.
The Champs were one of the earlier ones. You must have just missed them.
They've been on there forever. But they were after the Minocle.
But they were, they've been on there for a couple weeks. They didn't just like make it under the wire. But
maybe
they
I
were,
just missed it.
They were
but yeah, like, there was, those were truly amazing, the ones, the guys that won.
Well, and they showed like two different aspects of the hobby. Because I think what really helped with the Champs to take it was how custom they were. Because they were made up from bits from like four different types of models.
Oh wow!
Like they had Fenblade torso and legs. They had Champ heads. They had troll. They had the Long Rider like arms and weapons. Oh. Yeah, like he assembled a whole bunch of different Trollblood models into those Champs.
That's pretty
so they
sweet.
Really showed off that hobby aspect of the game.
Very cool. And then the other one was pretty much standard model,
but
just
was awesome,
painted
yeah,
really
painted
well.
So. And where the was. I'm trying to remember because I know there was one that it was. Was his glowing eyes just painted well, or did he actually do
it was
an LED thing?
Yeah, because Andy asked him.
It was object source lighting.
It was object source lighting, yeah.
It was really nice.
Yeah, it was impressive. So that was, I think, a very successful contest, and I'm really glad that people entered.
Yep.
And I'm really sad that Andy's showing the yoga pants picture again.
Oh, he's man.
No, I just tweeted it.
You tweeted it? Awesome. Yeah.
That is.
So you guys will all get to be enjoying that.
I just said recording episode. Recording episode 21, Eek Yoga Pants.
All right, so that was what I had for.
Speaking of yoga pants, that'll be a new Crippled System gear that you can purchase.
Oh, we're making that official now.
Yoga pants with the Crippled System hand symbol right on the ass.
That'll be part of our Kickstarter merchandise.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, because everyone wants to see that.
Yeah, and we need to make the Kickstarter is not going to be so you can send us on vacation. We're all going to go to the Bahamas play War Machine. So
yeah,
you're going to want to donate for that.
I would be willing to take my models to the Bahamas to play.
We could
I'll
go
tell
to
you what, if you guys send us to the Bahamas, we'll do a video podcast of us from the Bahamas.
From the Bahamas to really rub it in.
Really rub it
that'll
in.
That'll be nice of us.
We could help. We like, could go to Guam and help build the meta.
That's true.
There you go. What's Guam like? I don't know.
It's a
Pacific island.
It's a Pacific island. It can't be bad.
Yeah. I gave you such an open chance.
Yeah,
to insult somebody.
Yeah, you didn't insult him very well. That was pretty.
That's
because
we got fans there.
Nate's got.
He's
time.
Already insulted.
You know, wow,
he's got a whole episode.
And Guam's one of the few countries I like. I can find nothing bad about Guam.
I bet they have terrible, terrible bugs.
They probably do. They are Pacific Island.
Yeah.
like it looks wonderful, and there's like insects the size of your forearm that crawl around.
To be honest, even here in Wisconsin, there's times of years when you literally can't breathe without like sucking in 20 mosquitoes.
Yeah,
in certain
gross.
Areas.
And
so.
There was that one weird like 7-inch long beetle with the giant fangs
Cicada
that was
whatever?
In front. Of, no,
Cicada?
Remember in front of the Denny's that one time? I took a picture of it. It seriously was like as long as my hand and had huge pinchers up front. I had pictures of it on my old phone. It was like
those
like,
are cool. Home.
It was like,
I'm going to need you to go get the phone because I need to know what that is.
All right, cool. I'll be back.
Except he.
Talk amongst yourself.
Okay.
He was the keeper of the agenda. Crap.
I feel like, because I can think of earwigs, but they're tiny. And then there's a silver fish that I showed you.
Yeah.
But
it's like a rhino beetle type thing almost, maybe.
Maybe it was imported?
Probably. Somebody accidentally let it loose.
Yeah. It escaped from the Denny's kitchen.
Yeah. It probably didn't live very long in Wisconsin.
That was what was
well, you
for
can
di-
see
for dinner.
The agenda there for.
I can. Do you guys want me to read the next item?
No, Jeremy's not allowed to look at it. If anyone's going to look at it, it's gonna be
I am looking at it like good.
Well, that's we
got a bug coming.
We can talk about other things.
So well, that was our trophies.
Yeah, truffles.
That was our. Those are.
That was the
con-
yeah. I'm tapped out for.
Make sure you get your information to Jeremy, so Jeremy can get that information to me.
Email us
so I can get this stuff out to you.
Do you want to do some other emails while Nate's
for the,
screwing around?
Well, I don't have any other good ones.
For the two Facebook contest winners. But what? We got to get
I thought you said the emails this week were funny.
There's one that's mildly funny, but...
It might be a while for the t-shirts because we're in a creative brainstorming on that.
We did try to brainstorm t-shirts. We had a few ideas. Nothing really...
No
real clear
winners. But it'll be awesome. That's all that matters.
I will say that you will be getting the first ever Crippled System contest winner t-shirt.
Yes.
So that's what we're actually brainstorming right now. So.
Yeah.
And that'll be, is that both the painted guys or just first place?
Just first place.
First place, okay.
First place, and then, yeah. Yep.
All right, and then Nate is here with a cord.
Well, he's got
he's attempting to operate a power strip.
Yeah.
He has failed.
I said it was my old phone. This thing's been, like, in a drawer for a year, and so it was dead. So I plugged it into charge so you can all see it. Like, seriously, this thing, you'll see it and you'll be like, oh, that's a scary-looking bug. And then realize it is literally as long as my hand.
So I do want to give a shout out to somebody in the forums who made a Futurama reference that I thought was fantastic. It was the one, well, first I got up and had a piece of toast, and then I brushed my teeth, and then I went to the store, or bought it like a fish or something, but it's the Zoidberg episode where Zoidberg falls in love.
Wow, what a great story, Katie.
No,
thank
was,
you for sharing.
It was so good. It made my day.
What were the, what was this in reference to? Are you going to actually like tell us the person's comment was in reference to or no?
Oh, listening to us.
Yes.
Podcast.
I just want to say shame on the person that hacked our email and took Andy's email and posted it on the internet. That was private business. Also,
our email must have been hacked. There were like penis enlargement pill emails that came to us.
Right.
Only hacking can cause
that. Are we going to at least tell why this joke is funny to us?
Because Katie's dumb.
Because Katie gets on our email and we have like two junk mails or three junk mails.
There was like
four
or
five. There's a bunch of junk mails.
There were a few junk mails. And Katie immediately gets a hold of all of us to tell us she thinks our account's been hacked.
Dude, I don't know how this stuff works. I'm an accountant.
Oh, by the way, I drank a Snapple the other day, and under the cap, the Snapple trivia is that the symbol on Twitter is called an octothorpe. So I'm not going to call it a hashtag anymore. It's an octothorpe.
Octothorpe, that the bird symbol is?
Yes, the bird symbol is an octothorpe.
So is that like the octothorpe is like the species of bird, I guess.
Probably.
Yes. So. Yes. Like that, the little blue bird is an octothorpe.
You know, this is why you don't read Snapple, because then you learn things, and nobody wants that. Yeah, that's a pretty freaky little bug. I'm not going
to
lie.
Brian will like this
that's
the best.
That's not native to Wisconsin.
I don't know, but it's scary as shit. It was just sitting outside the Denny's there that we all go to.
So we're never going to that Denny's
just on
again,
the sidewalk.
Yeah, that's
chilling.
From Illinois for sure.
It's horrible, so it must be from Illinois. Everything from Illinois is horrible, and everything horrible is from Illinois. McCarthy was from Illinois.
Brian was from Illinois.
I'm
he
from
couldn't
the
even touch the phone.
You were born in the Carolinas, but you're from Illinois.
No, she's from the Carolinas.
I'm from the Carolinas. I spent the first 8 years of my life there.
Yeah. Okay. I was born and raised in Wisconsin, and then my teen years were in Illinois because my family dragged me down there. And as soon as I turned 18, I came back to Wisconsin because
which
Illinois
right
can fuck
decision.
Itself.
Yeah, that was the right decision. As we alienate our few fans in Chicago.
Well, you know, Illinois is kind of like a country. So here's a fun trivia fact. Over the last 100 years, in Illinois, if you were on trial for murder, you had a lower odds of going to prison than if you were governor.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have no defense for that.
Who does, really?
The only thing I can think is, Obama's from Illinois.
That may not be a good thing to say.
I am going to declare moving on.
We're not going to find out which ones of us are which political parties right now.
Yeah, let's not do that.
That's going to definitely alienate people.
Yeah. All right, so.
Let's instead talk about War Machine briefly.
Let's do that.
It's a game. All right, so, no, I'm just kidding. we didn't have anything particular to talk about this time. We just kind of just touch base, do the basic thing, and just discuss what we're all working on list-wise or not list-wise. What's your current War Machine-related projects, tasks, whatevers?
Am I going first, apparently?
Andy Ken. He had a thread about his, and it's all very impressive.
I'm trying to identify this bug.
Yeah, like it's so, some kind of horrible, horrible beetle that's like 7 inches long.
Search
and
horrible beetle.
I looked up giant pincer beetle.
I have another picture of it, too, from directly above.
Did you squish it, or did you just let it go?
I think it was already dead.
I don't think it was dead, but it wasn't, like, moving around. Like, I got really close to take the picture, and I didn't touch it, obviously, but I was up close, and it just sat there and looked at me.
I would have thrown a brick at it.
So I watched.
I don't think the brick would have survived.
Does this look like it?
It could be in the Pacific Rim trailer. I'll watch a trailer again and see if that bug was identified in that movie trailer.
In which movie?
Pacific Rim with all the giant creatures.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that movie I'm excited about. That's basically Mon Pak, the movie.
Yeah. I'm super excited about Star Trek. Oh, my goodness. That's going to be exciting.
Shut up.
I didn't say anything about it. I just said I'm super excited
about
it.
Oh, it's fucking...
It's got a guy named Captain
Brian
Kirk
trolled me quite well with that. Because I've been avoiding trailers and commercials and everything because I want to go into it virginal and pure.
Right.
How
could you possibly go into anything virginal and pure?
Quiet you.
That's why he goes for 14-year-olds.
You know, I was sticking with
right.
Saddlebag. Wow.
Wow.
But anyway, so... I've been avoiding everything, and then Brian posted trailers, like, on my Facebook wall.
Nice.
Does it look like that?
A little bit.
Yes. It's Insectus,
That's got to be Power Rangers.
The kaiju.
It's got to be
It's a kaiju
Rangers.
Of some kind. Yeah. Anyway, so that's our current labors of love in War Machine. Like, that was the topic.
Why don't you start with
we'll
War
skip,
Machine?
Yeah, we'll skip Andy because he's busy looking up giant beetles. Jim, go ahead.
Mage Hunter Infiltrators just came out, so while I'm randomizing my casters, I'm grabbing them. They're pretty cool. They are really, really good against infantry that it's usually annoying to deal with, like Nis Hunters or something like that. They eat through them pretty good.
Yeah.
They usually you need some. You got to make sure you have a way to crack armor, though, because they're not going to do that for you.
Pow nines?
They're 9 up to 11 with gang.
Yep.
So.
No, they're not cracking big armor, that's for sure. Well, if you charge in, you're fine, but infantry.
They kind of have some role confusion with halberdiers, too.
Yeah, I can see that. Have you found a caster you particularly like them with, or not yet?
No, actually, I think they're so self-sufficient and they kind of are always doing their own thing that nothing that Rhett does really helps them.
But nothing hurts them either. I would imagine. I would like to try them with Gareth. I think with Mirage, they've got some cool interactions.
I mean, they're faster, yeah. And I mean, you can make that argument for Quicken.
Yep, Quicken too.
I used them with Raven. I got Vortex of Destruction for them. It was pretty nasty. And their offhands were boosted then.
Oh, because
so they got two charge attacks each.
She got up in there and...
Yeah, I had no choice. I was playing against Scorn with, like, three or four heavies, and I didn't have a lot of anti-armor.
No, yeah.
So Raven actually got Vortex on two of them.
Nice.
And lived both times and... won the game, so I don't know how that happened, but it did.
I don't either.
Who was playing Scorn?
Jordan.
So it was Brian's models that probably let him down.
But, no, they're pretty neat. I'm actually excited to try them with Ron, maybe.
Yeah, they seem solid. I look forward to playing with them when I get back to Rhett from Legion.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty self-explanatory. Speed 7 is really fast.
Yep.
Mat 8 is pretty accurate.
Yep.
Stealth is all right.
Arcane Assassin's always good.
Yeah, Arcane Assassin's never bad. Mage Killer's obviously way...
super situational.
Right, even worse than Jack Hunter.
Yeah, I would agree.
But at least they got the higher base stats and speed and, you know, mat and strength, really, than the Strike Force, so they're not as corner case as them, I guess.
Right.
So,
and it's nice that they're good by default, so when you get the UA, they could potentially be
broken.
Yeah.
The last thing I was ignoring, like, without the UA, they are strictly better Kayazi. They're Kayazi with twice as many attacks and all those special abilities and Pathfinder, like things that they miss.
I had an anonymous inside source tell me that the Iris UA is basically just Iris 2 on the unit, which wouldn't be very good for them.
Right. So we'll see if that's true or not.
Yeah.
Well, if she granted her abilities to all of them.
The rumor was that she's literally just Iris 2. Hey, guys,
right.
I'm your UA.
Right. Maybe Grand AD or something, which wouldn't be worth 3 points. No.
So we'll see.
Because they're a melee unit, how often is she getting to shoot then?
Yeah, that would seem awful.
Yeah, it would seem awful.
But I don't know if that's true or not. So,
by the way, Andy found a picture of what looks exactly like my thing, and it's called a giant water bug.
I could
The website he went to said it was only 7 centimeters, and although it may be misestimating how large, remember, it was definitely more than 3 inches, and 7 centimeters is only 3 inches.
Yeah, it says here that it can reach
Nate
5 inches.
Nate knows that because he's got a certain member that when erect is 7 centimeters.
My pinky.
Yeah, that was what I was referencing.
Right.
It's a biggest giant water bug in Arizona.
Well, so the other one you went to said it was in Australia, but I mean, it could be just some kind of, it looks like that, and there's that, like, drainage pond right next to the Denny's, so it probably lived in there.
Possible.
Yeah, that's the correct face to make about bugs living in drainage ponds.
Anything that lives next to Denny's is bound to mutate.
That's true.
Which explains about all of us, because we eat there.
It explains why I got the three-eyed fish the other day.
I worked at a cheese factory that got shut down by the FDA. And I swear to God, I saw like a big spider with like wings flying around once. And I was like, I couldn't go in that corner of the building because that was like the scariest thing.
A spider with wings?
Yeah, I was like, I'm out of this area.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about the salsa tank and stuff that.
You get like big crates of like 8 by it was like 6 by 6 crates of tomato paste you throw into the big bins. But they didn't have a good way to scoop it out, so you jump into the tomato paste. I'm in there with like my boots just scooping out the tomato paste, throwing it into the salsa bins, and then just cooking it up.
Oh.
And then you had to wear all white in that kind of a job for whatever FDA reasons. So I would walk home at 3 in the morning from that job.
Covered in red.
Covered in white, covered in red. And I never got
just mumble to yourself while carrying a life-size human dildo.
I never got pulled over by the police. I look like a murderer. I look like I killed a family of 8. It was great.
So, Brian, what are you doing in War Machine right now?
Cricks are on hold because Epic Arcade has been out. I've played her 4 times in the last week, and it's been amazing.
She killed roughly 20 models a game.
She's killing it. I've killed multiple casters. I mean, Vortex of Destruction, I mean, is great at Raven. She doesn't have reach, right?
She does.
So
she doesn't have, oh my God, you can't kill me.
I think all three really Vortex of Destruction casters have reach.
So I've been using it on her to help. She's killing things, or Vortex to help kill beasts or Jax with her army. And just the amount of damage that like Malakarn or Bronzebeck does under...
He did in the field test. Maybe he doesn't have it now.
You're on crack.
Yeah. Madrick had it in the field test at least.
I want to know. I wasn't.
Does not have it now?
He never had it. And then maybe he did. I don't think so.
You're making stuff up.
No.
Yes. You're pulling stuff from your ass.
It's something like that. I think he had it in the field test. I'm sticking with field test. Go on with your story, Brian. Because I'm right.
So, sure, we'll go with it. You're a judge, so whatever. So, Vortex of Destruction is amazing. Eliminator is amazing. Being able to cast with Marquette to get more inches and then having her Blood Moon to cast it is just so... She can move across that field so well by herself.
Yeah.
And then I've killed casters between those two... Between two Eliminators, costing no fury, her activating, having between six and eight. Because usually... When I feed, I usually have at least one of her guard left. It gets one or two hits in, so I get her at least one or two fury, potentially.
The fact that other schmuck can cast Eliminator and she gets to move is kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's really good. I haven't cast Ground Zero yet, but I know it's a great spell. It'll be amazing in certain situations. I just haven't had that happen yet. Because I haven't played Scorn, I've been using the Will Breakers, which are amazing. I tried one game with a Mammoth, which is, oh my god, crazy. I will say, interesting fact, the first time when I use the phrase, I cast Puppet Strings at Malakarn, it also gives you an instant erection.
Yes.
It's just like the greatest thing in the world.
Although my greatest moment, it was in that same game when I said Midas casts Fatewalker.
Yeah.
We both had happy moments in that game. Yeah.
And then I've been using the Incendiary Eyes.
Yep.
And that's
that'd be a good words of
having
friends.
That auto fire 3-inch AOE just does so good against infantry spam lists.
You mean gibberish with acquaintances? I refuse to call that piece of crap words with friends. It's gibberish with acquaintances.
Yeah, I've been playing Scrabble, but yeah, no.
Don't make that face at me, Katie.
Nate never gets bitter when he loses.
Nope.
It's just when people are putting things like A, and it gives them a million points. Like, that's not a fucking word.
You've done that.
Yeah, and I don't deserve the points. And I also didn't deserve the points because I tried 30 different things first before I did that one, which you also shouldn't be able to do.
Okay, Nate, I agree with you. I tip my hat to you.
You son of a bitch.
He veils you. Don't worry about it.
She spells a word wrong and gets lucky because it's an actual word that nobody's used since 1300s.
Now we know a new word.
I'm sure they used it as late as the 1700s.
It's
Octothorpe.
Yeah. Octothorpe.
No, that's the bird. You guys are already mixed up.
If you can use the word Octothorpe, then I can use the word veil.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
I like how Brian's been interrupted like four times now.
He's okay with it.
Continuing on with
these are his birthday Makeda talk.
Never thought it's his birthday or something.
Yeah. So no, Makeda 3 is amazing. Everything that's come up for scoring out of that book so far has just been. Epic Hexorus with that Mammoth was just... I mean, when I was cheating, I was getting like five or six shots.
When I was cheating?
What? Epic Hexorus and the Mammoth?
Yeah, that's cheating.
Yeah, that is cheating.
But yeah, I mean, I would get five or six shots with Black Spot. And then, of course, with the Will Breaker, then I would, instead of...
Get another
breaker,
one.
Man, I want to play Menoth if I can have more ancillary attacks. That's, that's an amazingly fun ability.
No kidding.
So now all I need is, and of course, I had counterblast all over the place. If anything got near my army, everything would be attacking it.
Oh, jeez.
Pigs have it too, but our beasts suck. So
true.
So all I need now is some more Menoth shenanigans. We've Scorn has stolen so much from Trollbloods. Now it's time we're stealing all the Menoth stuff. We got the auto fires.
Well, you realize Makeda 3 is Raven with a different feat too. Like the spells you use on her, are Raven has.
It's Raven with P Virus's feat.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although Rhett doesn't have a Mat 7 Power 15 Weapon Master Jack.
Oh, did not Jack.
So,
no, so that makes a difference,
with
too.
With reach and sidestep, so...
No, that is true.
I'm not sure how that
your
works.
Your opponent... I mean, the thing is, I did notice if your opponent is pretty smart on their placement, your feet definitely gets hindered. And if they have a lot of tough, your feet get hindered. So, I mean, Makeda's feet does rely on their opponent's placement. Where some feats, you can just... I'll put the damage no matter what. Her feat does rely on my opponent's positioning to really maximize it.
I played Epic Virals against her, and with her feat triggering and my feat triggering, I was able to kind of...
Yeah, no, I mean, her feat's amazing, but there are a lot of ways... I mean, it's always annoying when your opponent, if he's really clever, can just nullify your feat or really minimize it. I mean, where some feats, like Epic Kane, is going to blow the fuck out of the boar on his feat turn no matter what you do.
There's nothing you can do, yeah.
So true. There are certain... So her feat is a little, relies on, the skill of your opponent, which that always takes away a little bit of it. But
you could
they
also
have
mess
one,
up Dicey, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's... So, but no, it's been fun. I'm going to play here for the next month. Andy's been converting my Mammoth, and once I get that back, I'm going to take a break from scoring, go back to Crix and paint up stuff for a month, and I'll go back to scoring after it's all painted.
Do you play double Will Breakers or just one?
Currently, I'm just playing one, but I can see where some of us would have two. But honestly, it's hard to fit 4 points for what they do.
Fair enough.
But I theoretically, if I play like Pete Morgul, he'd probably have two.
Yeah, I can see that.
But so far, Epic Makeda 3, even if I have my P-Hexy list and my Maker E-Hexy, I think I only have room for one.
Yeah.
I always want an extoller because whenever I play Crix and I fight a scoring opponent, my first question is, do you have an extoller?
Yeah.
So because it's so good against, it just does so many helpful things. I always have 2 points for that, so I'd have to take that out to have two will breakers.
Does extoller give you magical weapons?
Yes. Magical weapons. Ghost. It's just so many.
Isla Sight
with magical weapons. It's such a good. And especially like with a mammoth, if someone's like, "Oh, I have black beans," well, I have
that's
magical,
nice.
Yeah, whatever. So there's just too many things that,
or like, you know, stealth casters or any of that.
Yeah, it's too valuable.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, the mammoth's probably not killing any casters, stealth or not. Things
quite
like
do.
Rat,
but
zero
I can,
and
yeah,
a half.
Yeah, that's true. But having the Eyeless Sight just for shenanigans is just helpful.
It's amazing. No, I agree.
Sorry, I didn't mean to be super aggressive and combative, Jeremy.
God.
So that's what I'm doing. And when I switch back to Crix in a couple of weeks, I'm going to play a lot of Coven and Morton Ebra for about a month.
I think that Coven, if somebody played only Coven for like 2 years and didn't get sick of it, be a hard caster to beat, like almost impossible.
Yeah, but their shenanigans is real. I really deep. Like their yeah, exactly. And I really like that. It reminds me of when I played my Slaanesh. It was just such a brittle list, but when you got it right, it was so powerful back when I played Fantasy. But so I'm gonna play some Coven and Morton Ebra.
Nice.
Because I want to play more Jacks just for the hell of it.
Yeah. Jacks are fun. Crix Jacks are not, but you know.
I don't know. I
They've got some damn good ones.
They do have some damn good ones.
People don't seem to play them that much.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why I don't see Harrowers more. That thing's fucking insane.
Harrowers, the
character
Jacks.
Is that the three-shot one?
No, it's the one with Reach, Thresher, Soul Taker, so it just wipes out entire goddamn units.
And it has Ghost Shot, too.
And it has Ghost Shot, too, for the hell of it, so it's gun scary as well.
12, 18, no knockdown is...
Yeah, 12, 18, no knockdown, Reach Thresher with Soul Taker. And then, you know, with Morton Ebra especially, she gives the ability to move, like, mid-activation. So he wipes out, like, eight guys and then moves up and wipes out eight more.
Seems good. There was a lot more Malice being used right up until Colossals and Gargantuans came out. Because Malice being able to drag. Malice lost a lot of value. Because, you know, like, when you play Signar, you only see
Stormall.
You don't see. So Malice, unfortunately, was getting in, like, a lot of lists. Now replays really shrunk.
I think all three of those Crab Jacks are really good. The Desecrator, the Leviathan, and Harrower.
I don't think any of them are as good as the one that shoots things and turns them into an arc node.
The Corruptor,
yeah.
Which was a big. There was multiple Corruptors in the Sam and Devil Dog story. They were trying to, like, you can tell, like, yeah, we'll make this Corruptor sound cool in the store, so people will buy them.
People don't like the Corruptor.
Yeah,
it's okay.
True story.
The only problem I have with it is that the arc node is in the front.
Yeah, the line of sight of the Arc Node would be difficult to.
If the Arc Node model could target itself, it would actually be kind of cool with some casters.
But yeah, but you can't target yourself with
offensive spells. Or once you hit it with it, it be just basically.
No, they can't even PK itself.
You
because
can target yourself with
non-offensive enemy.
Yeah, because they stay as an enemy.
Because you can arc through a Phoenix and TK the Phoenix.
Yeah,
but the enemy.
Yeah, but you can't from the Meat Node.
Correct.
Because it's an enemy. And,
yep.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's really
the otherwise, the what's his name, Scabrous, is kind of bad, but he'd be really good if the Corruptor worked a little different.
Yeah.
Scabrous is pretty good when he never casts a spell.
I've played him a
because he's got Reach Thresher, too.
Yeah,
he's
I've
a
played,
nice combo.
I'm on 10-0 with him this year so far, so.
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
That's what I'm doing.
I'm waiting for Convergence. I'm playing Midas in the meantime.
Fair enough.
That's your story?
That's my story. It's not a very exciting one.
I'm working on playing Midas.
I'm putting four Razor Boars with each of my casters to see what they do for four Razor Boars. And so far, three of the casters, actually, they do surprisingly well.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Those little bastards with batting down the hatches and mobility can be really, really fucking annoying. I don't kill anything with them in a Carver list. I just have them get in the way. Like, I put Quagmire in one and then make it speed 8, and then it runs 16 inches and gets base-to-base with something important, and it annoys people because, you know, now they can't move that thing, and it's this armor 17 thing that's surprisingly annoying to get out of the way. And then after they kill it, I do it again with a different one the next turn.
Yep.
And so I got four turns of their Colossal being in their deployment zone, which is kind of handy.
That is good.
Doesn't work when I go second as well, though, unfortunately. But,
no.
You know, it's an interesting little annoying thing to do. And then I really, really like them with Midas. Like I said, I don't really... What? What are you giggling about?
Colin saw our tweet and called it a trap.
That's definitely not a trap. That is not a trap at all.
Yeah, if you don't see that at all coming, then
yeah,
you have issues.
Yeah, if you just turn around, it's there.
Whoa. Well done, sir.
Jesus, what the hell?
Mike shenanigans.
Microphone down.
It's all better. Nothing to see here.
That's why you shouldn't drink before a podcast.
I had some Diet 7-Up, motherfuckers.
Woohoo!
With scotch in it? What?
Yeah, seriously.
Anyway, I don't ever leech from him. I just force, I charge, boost to hit, and then I let him frenzy, and then I charge, boost to hit, and let him frenzy, and eventually they're dead, and I don't have to do that anymore. Like, they're not a war beast, they're a 2-point solo, and as a 2-point solo, they're actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, it's kind of like some people have been poo-pooing the Galvanizer, the Convergence Repair Jack, because like, oh, why would you pay 3 points for this with repair when you can buy all these Bodgers and stuff, but it's a 3-point like melee solo. It's pretty good, actually. It's got crit, grievous wounds.
Isn't it speed 4 or 5 though?
It's speed 5, I think.
Yeah.
I'd be really nervous about banking on Convergence because their main heavy seems like, you know, it's speed 4. None of them. I don't know.
Well, they have at least 2 debuffs that are not caster dependent, and at least 1 speed buff that is not caster dependent. So they're going to be very shenanigan-y. They're going to be very Rube Goldbergian. I think they're going to take a lot of finesse to play well, but I think they could be super good when all those things are clicking together.
Yeah, I would just be
like
nervous.
A harder version of Menoth.
So instead of you rage quitting your the day because you rolled bad dice, you're going to rage quit because you did step 4 instead of step 3.
Yeah, and at least then it's my own fault.
Yeah, that
is like true. I don't mind losing. Yeah, if
it's your control.
Yeah, if I lose because I did step 4 before step 3,
it's your control unless they end up a little underpowered, and then it's going to be
then it'll be frustrating.
Well, I'm going to own them because I'm going to get them essentially for free, and they're going to be Art Deco clockwork things, and both of those are things I'm interested in. And if I feel they're not competitive enough for me to represent in tournaments, I'll just go back to my first faction, Crix.
That's true. Which I've proven you don't need skill to do good at.
You do not need skill to do well in Crix. That's the entire point of Crix.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's a known fact. You can do well. You can't do great without skill. Because then you run into good players and you get crushed.
At the very worst, you do good.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Yeah.
The floor is so high with Crix.
Yeah. It's like the express elevator. You may not get out of the roof, but they're like, oh, you can be penthouse. You don't have to work for that.
Yep.
If you want to go one more floor higher, show a little bit of skill.
Yeah, I would agree.
And it's not even show a little bit. It's just don't suck.
Yep.
Just like, don't suck. Like, they're
that's
so
true.
Forgiving.
Yep.
Katie, what page are you up to on the rule book there?
46.
Learn anything interesting?
So far, no.
What about that whole B2B thing you were talking about?
Oh,
that was
interesting.
Base to base.
I don't know if you guys know this, that models whose bases are touching are in base to base or B2B contact.
Good job.
Well, which is it? Do you pick?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm picking B2B.
But anyway, Brian told me I had to read the rule book, so that's what I'm doing.
And then I told her to read all the faction books so she knows all the models.
Yeah.
That way you can never be surprised again.
That sounds like Jeremy's advice for that person who's like, as a new player, how do I learn what to look out for? And he's like, read every card ever.
I didn't say that.
That's pretty much what you said. You're like, there's a few things you should look out for, and then you listed like 800 things. It was like, Crix, you should look out for Egaspi, Edeni, Pedeni, Scar, Epic. Okay, so everything. For Signar, you should look out for Haley, Epic Haley. Okay, so everybody. For Menoth, and it's like, so now you're just listing everybody in the game. Like, that's not helpful.
For Signar, to be fair, I said the Haleys and the Canes.
Yeah, okay.
I limited it for Crix. I was like, yeah, just all of them. All
right. So there you go. As a new player, like first getting started, just memorize 87 different casters out of the 120.
And you'll be
and
fine.
You're fine.
That's
true.
That's how that works.
Helpful advice from
130.
Jeremy. 130.
What else?
130. And then depending on your faction, plus or minus, 14 or 20 or so.
Or like seven.
Seven.
Yeah. For me,
you still have to look out for your own faction.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But hopefully you know your own faction at least a little bit.
No, that's never the case.
No.
I am working on some Legion stuff. I am trying to be good with Legion because watching Jake Van Meter player made me realize that it is possible that every game I've ever lost with Legion was pure operator error. I'm sure that's shocking to everyone, but like
I just take Legion out of that equation.
Yeah. So it was pretty amazing to watch. The one thing that I'm definitely going to do is I'm going to pick up a second Scythian. I think that right now RFP is huge. And a couple Scythians with an Afflictor is just an awful lot of RFP, as it turns out. So,
what is an Afflictor?
Afflictor. It's the new the flying
wasp.
Thing that it RFPs a model and makes a succubus.
And his eyes bulge in his head there for a minute. There.
Yeah, and no, then I got to cut that out.
It also has an animus that lets it sack to succubi, which is pretty sweet. So, yeah. Anyway, so that's what I'm working on is more RFP in my list and learning to just, in general, play the list cleaner. He also recommended highly that I get better with P-Vale, the current meta. P-Vale's really good against, like, she's a good answer to Colossals and stuff like that, so.
P-Vale's just good.
Insight.
I mean, yeah. She was Always good.
She was, but like that's something that she's just not someone I've played much, and he really kicked ass with her all weekend. So,
well,
he's just really, really freakishly good with her.
Jake plays everybody really well.
He does. I'm not disagreeing. I asked him specifically, like, who should I be playing right now? He's like, P-Vale.
He doesn't play very well against the spell grind, though. So,
I did pretty well with my Legion when I was playing with him too. So,
I believe you. I've never seen you play Legion, though.
Yeah, I could probably help you out a little bit.
Probably.
Course, yeah, your advice would be shoot a Ravagor at something random, miss by accident, drift into a spot where it hits their three most important models, set them on fire, have the fire not expire, and kill them.
That sounds like good advice.
It's good advice.
Sounds solid.
Yeah, that should go on a t-shirt. that's like perfect. Oh, yeah. Yeah, speaking of fire going everywhere, I teased about it before, but man, I'm starting to get the urge to play my men off again. I'm not sure yet.
Pretty good faction, as it turns out.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple casters in there that I really want to see if they used to be really good, and I want to see if I can try to get them back again.
You're not allowed to play anything until you finish assembling that mammoth.
fuck that mammoth. Brian, I hate you. That's all I have to say.
You were having fun with that.
I was not having fun with that, no.
I heard you saying, like, oh boy, this is my favorite thing, several times.
No, you heard me say, I hate you, Brian.
Oh, that's true. I might have misheard you.
From across the room.
They're very similar.
Multiple times.
I couldn't hear you over the sound of me not assembling a horrific mammoth.
But on the bright side, it's only got 64 pieces, so it doesn't take very long to assemble.
No, but it is very cool. I built it, if anybody hasn't seen it, it's up on the Privateer websites. It's on our Twitter as well. It's mimicked. I don't know who originally made the picture for the mammoth on Pride Rock holding the Agonizer, but that's what I mimicked it after.
And it looks cool.
Yeah, little modifications on the Agonizer, some other modifications on the Mammoth.
My Mage Hunter Infiltrators went together really well, but they happen to have phantom limbs and swords, so it's just kind of a theme choice I'm making with them.
They just have invisible arms.
They have invisible arms and blades.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, they went together very quickly, though.
My painstakingly painted pewter-colored armies. Like, they're all, like, T-1000s mid-shapeshift. Like, right before it does that cool ripple color effect.
Right.
Like, I worked really hard to make everything look like unpainted pewter.
Right, and everyone's like, how come you don't paint your army? It's like, come on, man. I put a lot of work into this.
Actually, for reals, that kind of happened at Adepticon, because I was walking past the table and I saw a guy, and his army was just primed black. Like, the whole army just looked like it was primed black, and really shittily done, too, because it wasn't, like everywhere. And somebody's like, did you see that really awesome, like, two-tone black and white army over there? I'm like, are you kidding me? I saw a dude who just primed it black, and it looked like, and then I went to look closer, and it actually was like he had worked really, really hard to make things look like they were black and white photograph.
That's actually an interesting painting lesson. You have to make sure that the model grabs people's eyes from far away, or you'll never get any credit for any of your work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Katie.
I thought we already said mine. I was reading the rule book.
That's what you're working on in general, is just reading the rule book? There's no, like, I thought you were trying to, like, learn Mozart. Have you given up on him yet?
I'm trying to get back into War Machine. It's lost my interest a little bit lately. But that's because the sun is out, and there's so much stuff to do outside. And
life.
Like, never mind. That's for later.
What?
Never mind.
It was the 1st of May last week, and there's a song about doing stuff outside. I'll link to it in the thread.
It's my dad's birthday.
Well, your dad's birthday has a wonderful song by the late, great Jonathan Colton. All right, he's not really dead. I just like saying late, great.
But he's great.
He is great.
He might have been late to
things. He's probably late to things.
He probably, yeah. He hasn't shown up to the podcast yet.
So I'm reading the rule book, and I'm trying to get myself to go. That's not very inspiring.
Speaking of going and playing War Machine, how did your video games go yesterday?
Went really well.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
Great. We had fun.
Yeah, good.
We also played a little bit of frisbee golf.
Yeah, how was that?
It was
that
good.
That was really fun.
Except for
thanks for inviting us. Andy and I really enjoyed going with you all those times last year, so we were really happy to not be texted or called or in any way, shape, or form told that the group was going out to play fucking frisbee golf today.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
No, here's the thing. You have to pay this year. And so I don't want to.
You just assumed
group.
I didn't want to go, so you said,
no,
here, I won't invite them.
I don't want a big group going. Yeah. So next week, you guys can come.
No, I'll be playing video games.
Okay, that's fine. I don't know why you're making a big deal out of this.
You can hide in the microphone.
Imagine you had a group of five people for Battlestar Galactica, Nate.
Yeah.
And two more people might want to play. Would you call them and ask them to come over?
No, here's what it is. Imagine you played six-player Battlestar Galactica all the time for like a year. It was like a thing you did with these same six people every single Saturday. And then it wasn't Battlestar Galactica season, whatever. Pretend that made sense for like 3 months. And then it starts up again. You're like, awesome. Let's get four of those six people together again and not call the other two for no reason.
You played like once a month about though, right?
No.
That's...
It wasn't every week that you came out.
You came about half the time. You came pretty much every other time.
50%. So this was the first part of the time that you didn't want to come.
Oh, okay. That's good. Thanks for making that decision for me.
You're welcome.
But I was with you guys almost every week.
He was there almost
I
every
have
week.
No excuses.
No, that is my point. So my point is that, yeah.
No, but here's the real thing. Is there were two groups out there that were large groups, and they were taking forever. And
it was a pain in the ass to walk, go around them. And, yeah, it takes... Every person you add, it takes so much time. I was going to stop going because I thought the groups were too big.
So we need to.
Luckily for you, I'm not invited anymore, so you don't have to stop going.
We can split up the group, because I'll go four times a weekend every single weekend. And so we can go like twice on Saturday with one group and twice on Saturday with another group. Or you guys can go by yourself. It's not like a mandatory thing.
I need at least one person to find where my frisbee goes to land. So I need one person. I need a spotter for where mine land. That's the important thing.
But with four or less people, you can play a game in like an hour.
We did get through two rounds with four people, which was pretty amazing. Yeah. And the time it took us to normally do one.
If you're going to, like, oh, frisbee golf, this sounds like fun, and you're going to try it out, rule number one, green and yellow frisbees are a bad idea.
Green.
Yeah.
Blue seemed like the easiest
one
to find.
Blue's easy to find.
Blue's pretty good.
Pink's good, except for in the fall.
Yep.
Yeah, my reds get worse and worse to find as the year goes on. But it starts off really good.
Yeah.
There's more dead bodies in the forest.
My tie one's nice, but during the fall, it's pretty terrible.
Cool.
So are you going to be angry?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm extremely angry.
Okay.
Going to be is the wrong word. That's not the word you're looking for.
I mean, whatever floats your boat, because I'll be honest, I'm just not going to care.
That's fine.
Okay.
Well, there you go. There's a counterpoint.
Oh, my goodness.
Girls.
So, fine. Next topic, I guess. We are on the Board Game Geek thing now, so we should talk about board games occasionally. And somebody had a request for a specific one to talk about this time, and it's one that we actually have talked about a lot amongst ourselves, which is Eclipse.
So good. It's so good. I love it.
Except we never played it anymore because it's broken and unplayably bad.
I thought we made a house rule that made it better.
Well, that's true.
Well, should we summarize?
But it's a shame that that's necessary.
We should summarize the game.
Yeah.
Yes.
You should really kind of give a quick intro of the game, what it is, and then...
That's true. I was just repeating Jeremy's point.
Eclipse is, I haven't played it that much, but it's a space exploration and combat game.
Yes.
Since it's a space game, you're researching technologies, you're building spaceships, and you're going out and fighting each other, and there's multiple ways to win in Eclipse. It's not just beat the other person up, but you can use some diplomacy, you can use research and science to win. So it's kind of like almost like a Civilization-style game where you kind of have multiple angles to achieve dominance.
And Civilization is a good example because it's actually fairly difficult to win via military victory in Eclipse. Like, you can get some points that way, but like if that's your main game plan in Eclipse, you're probably going to struggle. With the exception of the one rule that we are going... The one real faux pas of the game that we're going to talk about.
What? No. I don't know. I don't even know what point you're making because a vast majority of your victory points come from the planets that you own.
Yeah, except most games, the person that wins attacked maybe one other system that they didn't own outright.
I don't know. That's not been my experience at all, but...
I know the one game I played of it. I took the center. I was expanding out. Two people tried to stop me. They didn't, and I did not win.
Yeah, I mean, if someone... Because one of the things I like about the game is because you can... There are multiple ways to win. If someone... just goes crazy in science and they don't get any because you know you're playing around a table, so you usually have a guy like ally to your left, you're to your right, the galaxy's being built as you play, and there is a center of the board where you can theoretically start overlapping to the other side of the players, but basically you have your left and your right opponent, and if your left and right opponent say, you know what, we're not going to bother with you, or if we have any military, you can't just you could obviously lie, but if you do play honest, like I know a lot of times me and Nathan will blow, like, okay, we will be honest, like we'll just assume that we're going to math it out, or we'll win it our own way, so we won't have combat, so we have a very safe border. So then our other border is where we have some skirmishes, and then maybe the middle is a lot of skirmishes.
Right.
But then if you're that guy and you have two safe borders and you go all in on science and you happen to flip over some really powerful planets and you get the right tech, you have a pretty good advantage. You can still lose. You're not going to. You definitely aren't going to win, because if you do have someone on the other side of the board who does happen to has one ally, you know, he tells his ally, well, I'll be your friend, but then just rolls over and takes all his planets, which happens like 1 in 3 of our games.
It does happen.
Not even using any kind of the broken rules. They just, because their opponent trusted them and they left their entire side open. Because all of us are bloodthirsty assholes.
Trust but verify.
Yeah, even a trustworthy border needs to have some military presence. Like, even
you have to forge trust through strength and arms.
Yeah. Which is very true. I mean, that's very legitimate.
You don't have to amass, you know, giant armies that stare at each other, but you can't just leave an empty border. Like, you can't be Canada.
You have to make enough where they have to build up so you can see it coming and respond.
Yes.
Right. That's a good way to put it.
I just know that I never figured out how to play this game appropriately. Like, I can play and do the right motions, but I've never won.
The game also has, it only goes, I think, 9 turns, and that's a really important thing in a game. I mean, you can play that game in 2.5 hours, at most 3 hours. Yeah. It's typically a 2.5 hour game with 6 players.
Like, I'll say this, I know a lot of people in this room who have played it hate it, but I love Twilight Imperium. I think that's a super fun game. It's an epic game. It's got politics, it's got technology, it's got all that stuff going on for it, and I will never play it again. Because it takes like 10 goddamn hours to play, and it's not. Some games take 10 hours to play, and they're worth it because they give you a unique experience. It's an epic experience. That time investment is part of what makes it enjoyable. But I don't need to play an 8-hour game of Twilight Imperium when I can play a 2-hour game of Eclipse.
Yeah, we have Eclipse and StarCraft. Like,
Eclipse and StarCraft.
It's hard
that
to
both
play other space games.
StarCraft is at least. StarCraft's very different. It's got a lot of different things going for it. But Eclipse is a very, very parallel game to Twilight Imperium in many, many, many ways. And there's just no way to bother with Twilight Imperium when I can just play Eclipse in a quarter of the time.
Yeah. Well, because you could get 3 games in the time it'd take one of Twilight Imperium, and they'll be, you know.
Or get 1 game in the time that I couldn't have played Twilight Imperium.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's really hard to get either people together and say, we're going to play a 10-hour game this Saturday.
That takes a lot of planning.
It takes a lot of planning. Whereas we can just be like, hey, let's play Eclipse. Okay. You know.
And our thing we have problems with Eclipse is there's one of the weapon upgrades is missiles. Missiles are a technology that are very easy to equip on ships. So a lot of weaponries require a lot of other upgrades, and you have to upgrade your power, which upgrades your space, upgrades your, you know, all these different things. But you can just upgrade a missile, and then you spam missiles on a ship, and missiles fire. You have normally a normal
they're
combat.
They're just too damn good.
Yeah, they have all these things that make them too damn good. And
they're easy to get. They're super powerful. They're super cheap. They don't require any strategy or planning. They're just like, hey, I'll just have shitloads of missiles.
And they fire
Hooray.
Before everything else on top of it.
The first time I played, I think I've only played once. I thought it was an okay game. I wouldn't recommend it as like a primary game, personally. But the time I played, I think me and everybody else at the table was reading that missiles fired simultaneously with the rest of the guns.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, so I can take 2 shots right away with their shots. However, then I don't get any shots later down the turn. But the reality is the missiles actually fire first, so you get all your shots right away, and then whatever's left of their fleet can try to fight you for a couple of turns. It's just not very good.
We probably played 25 games of Eclipse in the first 4 months before people decided to start breaking it and spamming missiles. We played, and no one really just, we just didn't go that route because I think people realized we were good, but we just didn't, it didn't really feel like anything we wanted to do. Now we have a couple players who that they're just going to do that.
By the fourth time I played it, we had players in our area that had just decided that the only way to play the game was to buy missiles and win.
Yeah.
Like, the first 3 times we played it, it was a really, really good balanced game, and then by the fourth time I played it, and we've played it like 6 times, it was just at least one person at the table was like, I'm just going to buy missiles and blow everyone up.
The argument is people say that if you get shields with a -3 the hit, that supposedly balances out, but I don't believe that.
The missiles, just fire so many.
You can have too many of them.
When you're firing, I mean, if you're firing 20 some
hit,
missiles.
Right?
6 is, because you roll, it's everything, all combat's a D6, and shields can give you like a -3 penalty or up to a -3 penalty, so shields are only ever, missiles will only ever hit on a 6, but when you're in normal combat, you might have a ship that has between 1 and 4 attacks. People, missile bullets will have 12 attacks per ship.
Yeah, so they're still getting 2 hits.
And then they
each
throw 10 ships in that field, and suddenly they're literally rolling 60 dice.
Yeah, it doesn't matter that you need 6s to hit at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, the missile player was probably anticipating that he'd have crappy hit odds against your shields and probably never even upgraded his hit computer.
He didn't, because there's no point.
They're just like, oh, so it's harder to hit you? I'll shoot more.
Yeah, shields literally do nothing against somebody who doesn't have a targeting computer.
Yep, because they're hitting on 6s anyway.
Yeah.
Correct.
Like,
but she like a negative three to hit when for other players who are rolling only four dice for per shift,
super
then,
good.
Then it's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But when you're up to like 12 dice per shift, then it's just irrelevant.
It's just stupid. Yeah. So like we had talked about a house rule. We talked about several different house rules, all of which are actually discussed on Board Game Geek. And I think the one we kind of settled on was just missiles are dumb and you don't get them.
I don't know, there's several ways to fix them. Like,
there are.
Have them take energy. Don't have them fire first.
Have them not roll any extra dice since they've got all these other advantages. Only shoot as many as lasers do.
Well, no. If the whole point of them is that it's two shots instead of one, but they only fire the first phase, whereas lasers are one shot every single phase for the whole combat, like, I can get that. It's the firing.
You can get it, but I don't know what the game designer's intent would be.
It was supposed to be. It was supposed to be like a risk reward thing. Like, you front load your extra shots hypothetically over a battle that takes three turns. It means you got fewer total attacks. But in reality, they're so good that the battle won't take.
And
three
if that
turns,
is their intent, yeah, then they need to either use energy or fire at the same time as.
Yeah,
anything
else. Or both.
The expansion came out with two items that were supposed to help against them. One was like a special shield defense unit, which would kind of shoot missiles down as they came in, and which one of the new races had built in. Yeah. But there's only one. It was a special attack, so only one other person could ever have it. So at best, you only have two players. And then if one of the players,
that person
going to do missiles.
Yeah.
And they're going to be better at it than everyone else. They're just going to win every time.
Which is what I've seen happen in those games.
Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah.
That comes up, and whoever's doing the missile boats just snaps it up.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, it's not even that good, because the way it worked was each ship that's being targeted by missiles gets to roll a dice, and if it rolls a six, it takes down like one missile or something.
It was slightly better than it wasn't great.
It wasn't great because I had the tech and I got attacked by a missile.
A die per missile needing sixes to shoot him down would make sense to me.
It wasn't that good. Okay. Like, you had a limit on how many you could shoot down.
Weird.
Yeah. It was problematic.
Yeah. But we did. I mean, that game was played 20 plus times, and it was fun. I would say if we played it 25 times, it was fun 20. But those last five games,
because we broke it. Yeah.
Just broke it. Yeah.
Yep. And certain players refused to not take advantage of that, even though they knew it would ruin the game. And we've been in games early because, like, oh, you bought me when missiles, now we're done. Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you can't necessarily fault them. Like, you can't just.
No, you can't.
I don't know. It's kind of like if we all agreed that E-Gaspy was too good, so the Crix players weren't allowed to take him. Like, those gentlemen's agreement kind of things just
gaming,
they don't work.
Gaming groups don't determine what you should be playing, the developer does. And that's very American gaming mindset.
Right. Yep.
We have tweaked house rules for minor things in the past, but it's always very minor. But that's such a core, you know, have missiles is such a big rule of the game, and it's, you know.
Yep. I agree.
If you take them out, it's probably not Eclipse.
Yeah.
But if you're playing it, I think the best thing to do is take it out.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I don't think they're a necessary part of the game. There's still so much.
Well, because we played the game without ever buying them for a long time and really enjoyed it.
Because we hadn't caught on to how good they were, so nobody just bothered with them.
Yeah.
And we had fun games of it. So,
yeah, and it was fun.
I mean, what it boils down to is Eclipse is a solid game if you're looking for the space combat, exploration, technology building aspect. And if you like Twilight Imperium, but want something that doesn't take hours, play it. But missiles ruin the game, so do something about it.
Yes.
They. And board game, like you said, Board Game Geek has a lot of ideas. There's plenty of threads about it. People have different options. Look into it. If you want to try it out, just do something about missiles because they ruin
it. Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Energy is such a big thing. I think even taking up energy would because you can't have a missile boat if they
because then you can't have the same kind of missile boat. It's true.
Yeah, adding the same energy requirement as... I mean, they're going to need targeting systems.
Well, the problem is they came out with better missiles now, too.
There was one special tech. There was one. Yeah, well, there was one tech for one, yeah. So
there's a tech now for missiles that do orange damage. It's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and we haven't gotten to play it yet, but Andy's gesticulating about... He has a game that he picked up. It's actually above 7%, not 7%, 7 out of 10 on the Board Game Geek rating. Then we might try sometime called Empires of the Void.
For the record, Mo doesn't like the game.
So it must be terrible.
Okay. Yeah.
Mo was like, right now, if Mo's listening, he's like, I don't like the game. So I was just saying that for Mo. Mo, you're welcome.
Diplomatically, I'll just point out it's not Mo's type of game, I think.
That's probably true.
Wasn't he one of the ones that found out about missiles and then just decided to build them? Is that?
No, it's Ben.
Oh.
Ben, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I've never
Mo's
played
not big
Eclipse
into military games. Mo's not big into military
played
games.
Played Eclipse, I've seen him take the missiles deck.
Yeah, he has done the missile when he's played it. But he likes that because he likes the multiple victory path kind of games, and he doesn't mind Eclipse. But yeah, normally it's not his. He likes more the collect wheat and have sex in the barn type games. I think that's what those I meant.
European games.
European games.
Just like to blast back from the past. We've got a couple of tweets about the yoga pants picture. And my personal favorite is, with that much surface to cover, even jeans would become see-through.
That's not yoga pants. That's a parachute with leggings.
Yeah.
Well, that's a new tweet. That,
people are really enjoying your picture, Andy. I'm glad you shared that with them.
Yeah, I thought it needed sharing. You know.
Now they can all suffer with us.
Sharing is caring.
Actually, that might be Travis in those pants. We haven't called Travis out yet.
We haven't called out Travis yet.
He's like, Travis is just waiting. Like, we're only talking about me. I'm a judge now. I'm important.
Great job, Travis, fitting into those yoga pants, getting them over to us.
I didn't think you'd be able to fit in them.
Yeah, no, he squeezed right in there. Good job.
Judge Sam.
And he doesn't have to worry about delivering our coins or my board game anymore because I drove to Milwaukee
drove
to get them.
Yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we threw Jeremy's on the roof.
Yeah. Hey.
What the hell, guys?
I brought it. You said you were coming, so I brought it.
I was.
And now it's at Misty.
Yeah. Permanently.
I literally do not know where that coin is. I do not have possession of that coin anymore.
It's on the roof somewhere. Be get a ladder. It'll
actually,
be fine.
On the roof of Pegasus, there are a lot of dice up there. Outside, I mean, a lot of people would come outside and throw dice on the
really?
Roof of the building.
I just bring a ladder there sometimes.
Some,
just
some
see
storm
what's up there.
Probably knocked them.
Yeah, they're probably all in the gutter.
Well, yeah, maybe middle of summer you should go up there sometime when it's, you know,
melted. See half of melted dice.
Yeah.
Well, there's certainly melted dice somewhere around Pegasus, Nate.
Yeah, Nate.
No, I kept that as a talisman.
You should wear it around your neck.
I was going to, but my pseudo stepson lost it, unfortunately.
Oh, I just put it next to other dice and like threatened them. Like, this is what can happen to you.
That's what I did. I kept it in my case, so occasionally when my dice were doing especially badly, I could just pull it out and just put it on the table next to them, and they could see it.
They could think about what they'd done.
Think about what they were doing.
Oh, man.
As an example.
If Nate was a scorncaster, he'd be Dice Tyrant Nate.
Yes. Fucking dice. Cube-shaped things hate me.
So you should use
pretty much anything that's like a box, would you say?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what I would say. Boxes and I don't get along. See, he was trying to make that dirty.
Ah.
Box is slang for vagina.
I knew that.
And, you know,
I did not know that.
I know.
You honestly didn't know box is slang for vagina?
I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thanks to Nathan, we did learn that 50% of women have vaginas.
Yeah. That was the last time we podcasted, you said that. And really, in that room, she's like, what?
I would say 50% of women have vaginas.
You did.
So do the other 50%.
you left out that time.
Yeah, you just said 50% of women have vaginas. You were I'm not sure what you were trying to say, but you definitely said it wrong.
I was trying to say 50% of people, probably, is what I was trying to say. Although even that's not true, because there's more women than men.
That's true.
And then, did I at least reference the Steve Martin sketch? I must have. What? Really?
No.
There's a great Saturday Night Live sketch with Steve Martin was a doctor who was famous because he delivered, like, you know, thousands of babies, and they were all girls. And so he's being interviewed in the waiting room, and he's talking about everything.
You talked about this.
I did talk about this.
I don't remember this at all.
But so they're talking when they're interviewing him, and the nurse comes out, and the nurse is like, "Doctor, we have one that needs the surgery." And the reporter's like, "What's that?" And Steve Martin's like, "Well, occasionally a little girl was born with a penis, so they have to have a surgery." Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, it'll happen.
Yeah,
sometimes.
It happens. True story, Katie. Guess what? We have a new jingle for you.
We do.
I've heard it.
You have heard it. So we're not kidding, but we'll insert it here so everyone else can enjoy it.
We have to pause.
We have to pause. Oh. Insert jingle here. Mark.
And now, brought to you by Swedish Muslim Jeremy's Halal Meatballs, it's time for Katie's Corner.
How delightful!
It's very very whitish-esque.
It kind of is very white.
Should just go directly into Katie talking. Because it's her corner.
Oh, okay, we'll try again. We'll try again. All right. Intro again. Mark.
And now, brought to you by Swedish Muslim Jeremy's Halal Meatballs, it's time for Katie's Corner.
All
Now it's okay. The part where Katie talks because the intro is over.
Oh my god.
I was doing that for editing purposes. You
see,
you know when to go back
me,
in.
I'm going to put it in there twice now.
So I was told at the very beginning when we started this that Katie's Corner did not have to be about War Machine all the time. And so even though it has been in the past, I'm going to take advantage of that because I was flipping through a cat catalog today.
A pet catalog, technically, but yes. I shit you not. This is what happens when you tell
a cat hyphen a log.
And they had these, like, little fences that you'd put outside in the yard, and then you put your cat in them so it could experience the outdoors. And they were like between $50 and $150. And it's like, who would do that? Like either put your cat out, or put it on a leash, or open the window with like a screen. Perfect. Done.
Yeah, I don't let my cats outside because I think they're too stupid to come back.
Then why don't you let your cats outside?
That's a very good point. Like, we were cleaning out Raylene's place to prep for the move, and we had the door open, and Jack kept getting further and further down the stairs. Like, he'd be, like, two steps down, and I'd go, Jack, and he'd come run inside. And then I'd look again, he'd be three steps down, and be like, Jack, and he'd come inside. And he kept getting further down, and finally, like, Jack, if you just leave, I don't give a shit anymore at this point. Just leave. I don't care.
Yeah. But anyway, it was just, they had, like, some really elaborate ones. They had, like, one that was just, like, a fence, and then they had one that was, like, a tent, and then they had one that was, like, a tube.
Because cats don't have claws and they're not going to just shred their way out the side of a tent.
Well,
like,
indoor,
how does that work?
Not all cats have claws. Some people mutilate them.
Some people do mutilate them, but most cats.
That is the worst fucking possible thing you ever do to your cat.
My mom mutilated her cat. But that's because it would, like, claw the curtains.
Cut their fingers off.
Oh, yeah, I would do that. You know what they do when they declaw a cat?
They cut their fingers off.
They cut, like, the first part
knuckle.
Of their finger.
The first knuckle of your finger, of your hand, it's gone.
Yeah.
If I ever get
the
a cat, I'm
still
doing
nobody
that.
Nobody says everything.
I have furniture I value more than I value a cat.
Well, just don't buy your cat.
That's just go get a cat.
But I mean, if life conspired against me and I end up with a cat, like, I don't know, I'm in some terrible sitcom suddenly, like Brian and a cat, I get
you
applaud.
You can train
like your
cat
dream woman
not
wants
to
marry you, but
on everything.
Cat
you can put scratching posts everywhere.
Yeah, if you have an expensive piece of furniture that you value, and you've got a cat with claws, you put a scratch post next to that furniture.
Yeah,
they will prefer the ropey.
That's too much work to cost.
Yeah,
money.
We had that cat scratch
fever
next to. Yep, we had cat scratch fever right next to our couch, and those cats had that thing like cut through the rope to the wood, and they never touched the furniture really.
No. My cat Fuma likes the lemony scent stuff that you're supposed to put on to avoid. To make him avoid it, she just, like, rubs all up against him and is like, ah, this is the best.
Yeah. I mean, there's ways you can get your cat not to scratch up things or do things that it's not supposed
and,
to.
And they're happier with claws.
And if they do get out, you know, they have a way to protect themselves.
And eat. So. Yeah.
And I know that a lot of people, you hear, like, indoor cats, but I honestly like having mine to be able to go outside, and having a yard helps.
Which I think makes more sense if you lived in the country instead of the city.
Yeah. We don't live in the city.
You live in the city.
You live in the city. Outdoor cats in the city is weird.
It's not weird. One of the cats lives outdoors all the time, and one of the other cats can only go outdoors in the summer because everyone brings her into their house.
There are actually a lot
of cats.
They
keep thinking she's a stray, so they keep just grabbing her.
No, they keep taking her collar off and then, like, looking at her name and then putting it back on. Because, like, every single one of her collar rings has been used.
Yeah, it's true. They, like, look at the collar and they're like, oh, I guess she does have a home. Well, she's cute. We're going to keep her for a few days.
And then I have to put out missing cat signs and then she appears magically at my door.
And one day we got tired of putting up a sign, so we just walked in the neighborhood and were like, have you seen our cat? And they were like, what's your cat look like? It's gray. Is her name Fuma? Yes. Every single neighbor knew her name. The only way to know her name is to look on her name tag. And they're like, oh, well, no, we haven't seen her. And then that night, somebody ding-dong ditched us, and Fuma was on the porch.
An alternate way to know Fuma's name is to hear Katie shrieking it in the night.
Yes.
Because she does that occasionally.
That?
Yeah, like, we'll be doing something, and Katie just goes, and I just like, Fuma!
She comes running, and then you hear her little bell go jingle, 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 jingle.
She does scream like a
she really girl. Likes getting petted. When I pet her, she starts wagging her tail like a good puppy.
Yeah. Yeah, wagging tails and cats is always a sign of happiness.
And then she randomly attacks your leg.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, that's random.
It's pretty fucking random, because I wasn't even touching her. I was just sitting at the table, and all of a sudden there was pain everywhere.
Have you considered the fact that she might hate all humans?
She really likes me. Fantastic.
I didn't say unjustified. I said random.
I was going to say one of the reasons why last week we didn't actually podcast is because Loki was in the vet getting his teeth pulled.
He's looking good, though.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
The teeth are for suckers.
Yep. He doesn't have I think it's the opposite, angry monkey host breath anymore. So.
Well, that's good, because that was a little
bit
gross.
You could smell it from, like, across the room, man. Yeah,
he would yawn, and people would flee in terror.
It was pretty horrible.
He's 15, though, so he's...
That'll happen.
He's getting old. Up there.
He's old, but he's good.
Agreed.
An interesting note about outdoor cats, they actually say they're ruining the ecosystem because they're killing all the natural wildlife.
Yeah, they eat thousands of
I was walking home yesterday,
birds,
and I'm walking down this walk, and all of a sudden I look down, and I just see a bird's wing just lying in the sidewalk. And I walk like 20 more feet, and there was another wing. And then I walked like 50 more feet, and there was a mouse's head. Just a severed head. And I'm like, there is some cat who is a serial killer out here. Because this is at least two different animals, if not three, because those might have both been left wings.
Cats,
it might have been.
Cats enjoy killing.
Yeah, it's just their thing. Just to leave the severed head in the middle of the sidewalk. Like, that's
it's
good
for you.
The cat was watching you in the bushes.
I've had several cats. When I've seen them, they have the animal in the mouth, and then when you call them, they'll just, like, drop it and come walking over to you. Just, like, leave the entire thing.
Yeah, no, they don't really care about eating them that much.
Also,
they just like killing.
They also present them to you as gifts.
As gifts
as well.
Yeah.
I remember one time I walked out of the shower, and one of my cats had a mouse. It was dead. It was lying on the mat.
Oh,
in the shower. I was like, hey. Oh,
I read an article on Cracked that said that the reason they give you those isn't like as a, oh, I love you, here's a thing. It's, I know you suck, so you probably are going to starve to death because you're incompetent at killing things, so I got you food so you don't die. Like, it's literally them.
Yeah, the cat's like, I've killed 7 things already today. You haven't killed any? Like, I'm going to take pity on you and give you this carcass.
Did you read the Cracked article about, like,
no.
The 4 best videos on the internet, and one was of a cheetah just, like, taking a dump. Guys, in, like, a naturalist video.
Threw, like, a sunroof type of thing into a guy's car.
And then
well, that's a key part of it. It was just a cheetah in the field taking a dump.
No.
The guy, like, caught the poop so that it didn't, like, land all over his face, and so the cheetah turned around, walked back up, and pissed on him. It's like, you obviously didn't understand my fuck you statement.
Let me clarify.
That is a story that gets better and better.
So, speaking of big cats, there's a big video, like, because, you know, small cats love laser lights,
right?
So this one video place, they took laser lights to like lions and tigers, and they don't give a flying fuck. They're like, yeah, no.
Flip side, I did see the trainer using laser lights to entertain the penguins at a zoo, and the penguins were all over it.
It must be smaller animals like it.
Oh, we're going to apparently watch the cheetah
sit here
poop
for a
on
minute
a journalist.
And a half
no, I know.
It's just going to play in the background.
You can just play in the background. All right. That's all it is.
So we're experiencing the cheetah poop.
So there was an article. There was an article on Crack that was actually true once. That's ahead.
They're all true. That's true.
They're all research.
Ish.
Yeah, Crack.
Jewish.
Crack.com.
What you have to do is you have to read the initial one and then look at the links if you want to actually see.
Here's a good question, though. There's a cheetah on top of this guy's car, and he's not closing the sunroof.
Yeah.
Like, that's already a stupid maneuver.
I don't think it can.
Here we go.
If I was a cheetah, instead of pooping in there, I would have leapt inside and murdered him.
Well, he didn't want to eat him for whatever reason. He wanted to, this is so lot, much better.
It looks a lot like Malcolm, actually.
Which is also, like, walk across
except
the
he's
entire
not walking
area.
Away. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's
concerned.
Not
going to
eat the bag that the guy catches it in.
Well, Malcolm doesn't eat his own poo. Only other things poo. What the hell is wrong with this guy?
He doesn't want the poop to land in his car, so he's going to try to catch it. He got one. Okay, good. He's just tossing out the window?
Apparently.
Whatever.
All right, so anyway, that
happened. Nature people are stupid.
It's like we just talked about it, and we're watching it. It's like the internet's amazing. Anyway.
Wait, see, don't go outside, because
Nathan mentioned porn earlier. Why aren't we watching that?
Right? Can you check prices on the 6-foot dildos?
Katie did on my phone, I noticed.
No, I didn't. That was another Cracked article about somebody who tied a dildo to a drill bit and then didn't take, like, the drill part off. They just, like, put the dildo on over
That's
it.
That's how
then,
I'd do it.
And then, like, it like shoved it up into his lady friend. And obviously the dildo got thrashed,
and
so did she
apart.
A little bit.
Yeah, you think? That's terrible.
So you guys can all go read that.
When I was, like, 8, my mom took me to the dentist, and those little, like, plastic cups on the end of the drill thing that they put, like, the fluoride into, and they, like, polish your teeth, there was just a little filament of wire that was sticking out, like, that had just, like, peeled off or whatever. So it was like a weed whacker, because this filament of wire was sticking out to the side, and so as it was spinning, it was just shredding my gums.
Oh,
so just,
goodness.
Like, blood was spraying everywhere, because this guy, like...
Didn't
yeah.
they notice?
They noticed after, like, 3 seconds, but by then, like... They had just taken this weed whacker across my gum line and just blood everywhere. My mom never took me to that dentist again.
You think?
No kidding.
Shocking.
There's a mental image for
Did
you.
Did she ever use that as a possible punishment?
Right. Just
like, I'll go back to that dentist if you don't straighten up your ways.
Oh, so, my goodness.
So is that the end of Katie's Corner?
That was Katie's Corner. Cheetah pissing on a zoologist.
And don't put
cats
in a cage outside.
Well, it is. That's stupid. Come on. Like, open a fucking window. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and don't put a sweater on your dog.
Hey, people in the West don't have windows.
Chihuahuas. They're cold. Like, you're not going to put a sweater on a husky.
You want to bet?
Unless yeah. there are people who put sweaters on.
There are people who do that. Or booties. Like the little booties on their dog.
My ex worked at PetSmart, and they had to call their customers pet parents. And here's the thing. If you're a pet owner, good for you. Pets are awesome. If you're a pet parent, you're a fucking weirdo. Like, you're a fucking weirdo.
Oh, man. Andy was telling me about this show called My Strange Addiction. And I turned it on for, like, 5 seconds when I was visiting my mom. And it was somebody that collected Cabbage Patch dolls. Like, okay, people collect stuff, whatever. Sure. They had like 1,000 of them. Okay, that's a little excessive.
But it's a big collection, whatever.
They made up names and personalities for all of them, and they'd go up and talk to them like they were children.
Okay, yeah. That's where you cross the line.
I was
right
like,
there.
Oh my God, I was horrified. I was like, change channel.
There was a lady on there that ate wrong. Like the stuffing out of the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Oh, pika. That's pika. I mean, there's a lot of subsets of that.
There's only so much
pika
of that.
Pika is
I
this
could
desire
watch.
To eat non-edible things. It happens a lot to pregnant women. Yeah. Pregnant women, because you get those strange urges, you know, like, oh, pickles and ice cream, whatever, that everybody talks about. But they'll just occasionally just really, really, really feel the need to eat dirt.
Yeah.
So they'll just eat fistfuls of dirt.
Is it like
and
some
stuff.
Nutrient and or vitamin that they're like not getting that their body wants?
That's one of the reasons why it happens
the
to pregnant women
element.
A lot. But there's like pregnant women. That's one thing, and that's why it happens to them because it is nutrients.
It might
whatever.
Be
but crazy people. It's just because there's something wrong in their brain. They're like, I need to eat chalk, and so they will just eat sticks of chalk like candy.
For the record,
kind of good.
Chalk,
yeah, chalk, delicious.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I'll say
chalk will cure heartburn.
Yeah,
pretty
sure. Fabric softener looks delicious to me. Like it smells wonderful, and it's got the consistency of color. It looks like blueberry milk, and it smells delicious. I've never, like, drunk it or
so
anything, but, like, I'll pour it in fabric softener, I'll be like, man, that looks and smells delicious.
So if we're
strange addiction.
Dead randomly, we'll
Dowdy.
Know why.
Well, I'll never do it because I know that it's fabric softener.
We're
going to
find Nathan
crazy,
dead
but...
with a rope around his neck in his closet with his pants around his legs.
Hey,
that's how we're going to find Nathan, let's be honest.
Me and David Carradine share some certain interests, all right? That's all I'm saying.
That's
wow.
all you need
yeah,
to say.
Everybody should give that show at least a quick viewing.
Oh, horrifying.
Just watch that in Hoarders
the
same
the
day
previous.
And feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My God.
Hoarders.
That, just,
Hoarders.
Just watching,
oh, my goodness.
Watching the gal that was eating sand on a regular basis.
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
Half the episodes are about pika.
Oh, it's...
Of some sort or another.
Yeah.
The Hoarders one, though, my favorite was the lady who put everything in Tupperware. Like, because normally, like, the Hoarders are so, like, dirty and gross. But she had, like meticulously, like...
OCD hoarder.
She was a
filed,
neat freak, but
like,
she just couldn't throw anything
and,
away.
And everything was clean, and she, yeah.
I've never seen... I've not seen... I only see the one where there's, like, dead animals
right.
under layers of filth.
Yeah.
But that show never, like, you see, I'm used to watching those shows and those channels where you meet Bob, he's got a problem. After they talk about his problem, he sees a therapist, at the end of the show, Bob's fine. At the end of Hoarders, they're always worse off, their families left them,
better
and they just
them.
Start hoarding things. It never ends well.
No.
Well, the
That's
worst
how my
is
grandma
hoard-
was, actually. She was insane, and she ended up in an insane asylum type thing.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Your house gets condemned and torn
yeah.
down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, a lot of these shows where they try to fix things. Like, that. Like even the other ones, like Kitchen Nightmares, like with Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, they never
like,
get it fixed.
90% of those restaurants are out of business a month later.
Yeah
but they might have failed anyway.
They probably would have. It would have been 100%. Like, I'll give him his 10% batting average. But, you know, it's not like there's some miracle that comes in and fixes everything.
Right.
No.
I have watched Bar Rescue. Like, one Saturday, they had, like, a marathon, and I watched Bar Rescue all day.
Like, Bar Raphael? Was she drowning,
no.
or?
No. It's just Bar Rescue.
I
want to
watch that show.
It's almost the same thing as, like, the Kitchen Nightmare thing. It was where you have some consultant comes in and basically turns around a bar.
You need alcoholless bar.
Yeah.
Well, a dive bar can still be successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
usually those at least had, like, a follow-up. But, like, 3 months from now, their profits are up 20%, et cetera.
Yeah.
Etc. That was actually kind of an interesting show to watch. I don't know why.
The worst one is Animal Hoarders, where they like hoard animals.
Yeah, I would have watched
the
show.
Cat ladies,
yeah.
The show.
Do they have little fences in their backyard for them?
Yeah, probably.
No, because they won't let them out of their house.
Well, those are the ones that'll have like mittens that died 5 years ago that somewhere upstairs,
yep.
underneath like years of trash.
When I installed that DirecTV, I went to a lady's house. She had like 14 dogs in the house. And I'd say of the 14, 13 of them looked like some kind of dog-rat hybrid.
Oh.
And, I mean, and the house was filthy. And walking around, like, I was there, my DirecTV doesn't work. Like, every 10 feet, I'd find a wire chewed through.
Well, right?
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
was it like a poodle?
No, I told you what they were.
I know.
Breed a rat with a dog.
He was referencing a previous podcast, 13 of them. Jim.
Oh, yeah. I don't think she had any ferrets, though. They kind of, actually, they did look like that, though. I wonder. Maybe they were roided up ferrets.
Yeah. I bury bombs of the animal kingdom.
Awesome. Oh, man, that house was terrifying.
Well, it seems like
it was like a little trailer.
Like, I don't understand, because they're like, oh, these animals are so bad off without me. And it's like, these animals are all sick and dying because you don't let them out the house.
That's part of the disease. I mean, that's the issue with the person, is they don't recognize that at all.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Like, the horrors one I can kind of get, because, I mean, we all do it to some extent, but I'll have, like, I have a random pen that, like, my grandpa gave me this pen. It's not a special pen. It's just a fucking Uniball. But I got it from my grandpa, and now he's dead. So I just still have this pen, like, laying in a drawer somewhere. It's just a fucking pen, you know what I mean? But to these people, they attach that memory to every single object in their household.
Right.
And they just can't get rid of them.
And that's where it gets weird.
99% of items, if I haven't used them within a year and a half, I just throw them out.
Is this?
I don't care about nostalgia.
I have exactly a year.
I have a couple of things from my dad.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some, you know,
thing. I have a small box of things that have, like, sentimental value.
Yeah, exactly.
But beyond that.
So the sentimental value is there. It's just there's a rational limit where you're like, here's the things that are legitimately important. You know, here's my dead mother's wedding ring. Like, I'm keeping that or whatever. And but there's some point, like, this one guy I knew touched my door handle once, and so I, you know, like, they take it too far.
Well, as far as I went shopping 3 years ago, and I haven't opened up all these bags. They're still because someday I might need that shirt I bought 4 years ago.
Yeah, and that's just for the people who, like, that comes from their grandparents survived the Depression, and so they instilled this you can never throw anything away because you never know when you're going to be starving in a gutter mentality. And we're not in the Depression anymore, so you don't need that.
I'll just let you know right now, I am not going to treatment. I completely refuse.
Andy is a warm horde.
Yeah, he's a warm horde hoarder.
I'm a warm horde game hoarder, yes.
Yeah. You think?
Game
As
hoarder.
I look around the room.
At the four copies of Warhammer Quest.
Yeah.
You're a book hoarder.
I am a book hoarder.
I wasn't. Like
books are a good thing to hoard.
Yeah. To be fair, that's a socially acceptable thing to hoard.
Yeah, I mean, you go walk into someone's house and they have like five bookshelves nicely kept. That's impressive.
It's
like,
yeah.
And it's weird to me because I have lots and lots of books, but they definitely don't fall under that I haven't used in any year umbrella.
No.
Like,
no,
I haven't read 99% of those books in forever.
Yep, no, yeah. I understand. Like, it's one of those weird
I actually go back and read my books every so often so I don't sell them or throw them away.
There's a handful I do, but there's no way I could reread all those books. No. There's some that are just going to sit there, and I will never read them again in my entire life.
I would sell those.
Yeah. Of course, I did dump three bookshelves of shelves when I moved because I got my e-reader, so I'm like, screw it, I want only digital, but I mean, that's because I'm crazy.
I like paper books because you can borrow them to people a lot easier.
I will say, every time I get a new book, I mean, I'm the one who usually buys a book and browses to five people, so
yeah,
it's weird now.
Brian going digital has really killed my reading.
I had to pay for a Dresden Files book. What the fuck?
I gotta go pick those up myself.
Is there a new one out yet?
I'm talking about the
He announced the name of the book. I know the only it's a heist book. It's a heist story.
I hope it goes back to kind of that original format where it's he's actually outmatched and it's more of a detective story than...
I don't think it will. I think he's in full-fledged mega plotline mode.
A heist book might help a little bit if it's a heist story.
I don't think the film noir, here's a small-time detective but happens to be a wizard, that's dead after the first six books. Now it's all about the big plotline.
A boy can dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't like the other Butcher series because it went too big scale, in my opinion. So.
It's one of the few high fantasy books that I did like, because I'm not a big fan of high fantasy much anymore. I mean, in general, it's not my genre anymore.
Yeah, I actually kind of loathe those books. I can't believe I made it through the series. I don't know why. It just was too much.
Well, his writing style still, I mean, you might not be like this.
He's a turn-paging writing.
Yeah.
He's a turn-pager. Like, you read a page, and you're like, I'm reading the next page.
I don't know. Somebody told me the Dresden books jumped the shark.
Yep.
Who said that?
I think it was Glenn.
It rolled the dinosaur. Somebody.
Yeah.
It's got to be the same
this
thing.
Like, this was like a year ago. It was before I ever read any of them. And just it was some thread when the last book came out. And somebody was like, oh, that just jumped the shark. And Jim's like, really? There's a book where he rides a zombie T-Rex. Like, you're going to tell me it jumped the shark? True story. So that's Katie's Corner.
That's Katie's Corner.
That was pretty good.
Well, yeah.
What?
Outro. Well,
we ended Katie's Corner like 20 minutes ago.
No, this was all
it
Katie's
got,
Corner.
It got extended.
We were talking about full cats still. Yeah.
Cats in cages.
That was
the full circle.
That was the encore?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like was, it started to peter out, and then it went.
A topic,
yeah.
And then she has us like comment, and we commented.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So that's what we did.
We went from cats to hoarders.
But we had an encore of the comments.
Hey. Sometimes when you're really good, you have a double encore.
Yeah,
yeah.
People were out there with lighters.
Yeah. Yeah, the audience loves us.
Or skip 30 seconds.
Skip 30 seconds. That one guy's just having a conniption right now. When the fuck are they going to go back to War Machine? Not at all. That's spoiler alert. We're done with that for the day. Just stop. Of course,
it's been like a mom long podcast. Are we on hour two?
No,
yet?
If we're going to give recommendations, we should give them very quick, or we should just call it.
No, we don't need recommendations.
Call it my
recommendations.
Ass.
Yeah.
All right, go.
Go,
Jeremy.
Oh, hey, Nathan said, call it my ass. So the it should be crippled system number 22.
My ass.
My ass. Or Nathan's ass.
It's all 21.
Right, so
God
my recommendation, despite the fact we argued about it on air
crippled
earlier.
System episode 22, it's 21, goddammit.
So anyway, my recommendation, despite the fact that we argued about it on air earlier, is actually Frisbee Golf. It's really fun. It's enjoyable. It's good to do with friends.
Some friends only
yeah,
only up to
friends,
only apparently. Up to you and three of your friends. Not
I can't
more than
help who Katie wants to invite. All right.
Oh wow!
Wow, that was pretty good.
I'm
so Katie,
this.
There was this bus. Anyway, I would say that in general, if you can keep the group to five or smaller, you'll move along a lot quicker. But a big group can be fun. It just tends to move a lot slower. But it's a fun sport. Almost anybody can play it unless you are like one of those people that just physically can't do anything outside.
Well, it's like golf or bowling where as long as you're having fun with friends who invite you along, you can just enjoy yourself and whatever. It's not about winning. It's about just, hey, let's just have some fun together.
True fact, I could never have fun golfing. I could have fun bowling.
Yes.
Golfing is, to me, if I was golfing, I would be, basically the same thing. I would think, to me, Hal is very similar to someone who's
I think golf would frustrate me a lot more. The couple times I played it, golf frustrated me far more.
Frisbee golf requires a lot less skill.
Yeah, I mean, if you care, it's going to frustrate you.
Not even, right. I mean,
we're not Frisbee golf.
We're not physical specimens at this table, really.
No.
And we do reasonably well on some pretty tough
at frisbee golf.
I can get lucky on frisbee golf and do okay. I could never get lucky.
The thing is, anybody can
throw
a frisbee. You really do have to learn a technique to hit a ball with a club well.
Just sits on the wrist.
Or it's
well
just
is a key word.
I don't want to take a 20.
Keep your hands loose and stare at the ball. Yeah. Like, if you do those two things, like, if you stare at the ball after you swing and you don't lift your head, you'll do fine. It'll go 50 feet.
I've golfed, yeah.
It'll go. Yeah. Like, whatever.
So that's my recommendation. Frisbee golf's awesome. Yay.
All
right. I wanted to recommend frisbee golf.
No, you should
call me. I know. I taught my dog how to shut the drawer for me, so he now shuts my drawers and cabinets. That's my recommendation.
Is to have your dog shut people's drawers?
Yes.
So if you have any drawers or cabinets you need shut, just tweet or us.
Her recommendation
and
is
Malcolm
to
will come out
to slowly make sure she never has to do anything in her life that her dog just does it all because he shuts.
Why
drawers,
didn't you
she
just get a helper monkey?
Yeah, like seriously.
Oh, you have to have.
She
like,
already
a
has
special
one.
Thing.
Oh, zing badongo! Jeremy hit for the day.
Damn it!
I'm trying to teach him.
You were still ahead on the comments. That was a pretty good throwing under the bus earlier. Comment. That was all her idea.
To be fair, Jeremy rarely has an original thought.
Wow.
True.
I mean, like, talking about in the park here.
Oh, I'm just done. That's
come back to me. I'll get one.
I am going to recommend Neverwinter online. It's a
fucker.
Free
Seriously. are you fucking kidding me?
It's a free MMO. It's today. Currently in open beta. It's based on fourth edition D&D rules. What's cool about the game is it's a general MMO where you play through a campaign, do all your level, but then what makes it nice and original is it's having a ton of player made content being made. And there are enough rules where you can't just say, I'm going to make a dungeon, post it, it has a big treasure room, and you get a million items, and you've beaten this MMO. And they have a lot of, it's all based on monsters and
how you build the rooms, and that will determine what kind of, you know, drops you could have. But it's a very – it's a good graphic game. I mean, as soon as D&D 4th Edition came out, I think a lot of us said this would be a really good in a video game. And this is now here's yeah. here's a free, and I like free, like I said, I am done with monthly paid subscriptions to MMOs. I just don't have the time to play one and get my money's worth, because I can only play maybe 1 to 2 nights a week at best on a good week. So free MMOs is just fun. So that is my recommendation. Neverwinter Online, free MMO, currently in open beta.
As Andy seethes.
Andy, quick, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation is going to be Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon.
Oh.
Trailers.
Yeah, trailers. Who cares about the game? Just the trailers.
The trailers are amazing. Go look it up. If you're familiar with Far Cry 3, it's kind of like an open world sandbox game. You're kind of stuck on an island.
First person
battling
shooter.
Rebels. Yeah, it's a first person shooter. It's a really good game. It got a lot of good reviews. Blood Dragon is a futuristic take on that. It was originally, I think it was released as a April Fool's joke.
Well, the trailer was
released on April 1st.
It was an amazing meta thing because they're like, ah, here's the trailer on April 1st. Everyone's like, ha, 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 funny April Fools. The April Fools was that it was a real thing.
Yeah.
It is an amazing looking game. It stars Michael Biehn. Well, if you don't know who that is, that's Hicks from Aliens. That's also the...
I think you mean Reese from
Terminator. From Terminator.
They're both the same person.
Wait. Is that Bill Paxton?
Yeah, no. I think it's Bill Paxton.
No. But Bill Paxton was in both movies.
What's the guy's name? The main character's name? It's like Max something. Oh, something. It's amazing.
It's Max. Max Power Colt.
Sergeant Max Power Colt.
Yes.
Well, that's
the android soldier.
It's a it's like the 80s version of the future, kind of like how Fallout is the 50s version of the future. Yep. Like, they both take place in the future, but they're the thematic elements
Ed takes place in the future of 2007.
Yes. The apocalypse has had an apocalypse.
Speaking of a movie game trailers, is a game called Leviathans. It has this really crazy trailer that's out right now. It's about these boats are fighting. It's kind of like the guy has like a really jazzy voice talking about the trailer. It's just a really ridiculous. It's been a kind of a big thing on the internet lately too. You mentioned ridiculous trailers for a game.
Isn't that the
board
game?
No. It's a cross plat. It's a game where you basically have ship combat. Top down, and it works on PC, Mac, or PCs, Androids, tablets, PS3. It's system wide, sure. But the trailers are just really over the top. Maybe I'll post the link to the trailer in the thread.
I'll post a link to Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. It's amazing.
$15.
Yeah, it's also $15, and it's a standalone game, so you don't even need to get Far Cry 3 in order to get it.
Yeah, it's not DLC.
I have read multiple reviews that said that game is worth a full game price for as fun as it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Supposedly, the map is larger than the map that was in Far Cry 3. So, wow. Yeah.
The gameplay looked fun.
Yeah.
As well.
I played 2 rounds of golf today. I'm tired.
Good for you.
So is that it?
But Jeremy's safe.
Nathan has one. I have one.
Yeah. Okay. I've been thinking. I should have checked your list. I don't think. Did I ever get around to? Did any of us actually recommend Space Alert?
I don't think we did.
No.
I could be wrong.
So I recommended Space Alert. It's my favorite cooperative board game. If you're a fan of co-op games, you owe it to yourself to try it. I bring it to a lot of events. So if you've been in person to like any of the Mayhem Cups or stuff, you might have alerted Space with me. But anybody who's played co-op board games, you might be aware of one of the big flaws with them is that if you have like 6 people sit down and play the Lord of the Rings co-op game or Arkham Horror or whatever, depending on the group, a lot of times they devolve into a solo game and then 5 people who are doing what that one person tells them to do. And that's just not fun. Like, it's not fun
for one person.
Yeah. Well, sometimes. Yeah. I mean, the flip side is if you are the best player and you know what should be happening and everybody's fucking up,
like
it's hard
if somebody's
to
like,
not
oh, I'm
going to
drive this car all the way in the wrong direction and die. And you're like, please don't do that.
Right.
And they do it and lose you the game. That'd be a really bad experience.
What lost the game was the double move that killed Katie. Thank you. I stand by my decision.
Which I was just giving an example. I don't
example.
Know what you were deriving
that. I mean, Nathan may be wrong right now, but he's giving an example.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Wow.
This podcast is full of venom.
It's the best podcast. Fuck all of you! The point is, Space Alert, you can't do that because it's a real-time co-op game, so you do not have that like time to stop and think that one person can't possibly pay attention to everything that's happening. So
each person has to manage their own crisis.
Each person has to manage their own crisis. The worst that happens is that one person will tell people what crisis they should be managing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's just being captain. That's just like taking charge. That's not playing the game for everyone,
right?
Which is a big difference.
Because literally, each person puts down their orders upside down in front of them, so then it triggers simultaneously. Yeah. So it doesn't matter what someone said because you've put your stuff down. It's locked in stone,
right? Well, even still, like not the end. Like if you had infinite time to put down the orders, like somebody could say, "All right, now let's figure out what to do over here, Brian. Here's how you're going to handle this this scout and you know." Jeremy, here's how you're going to handle the bomb that's inside.
It's
whereas
like
in
you,
reality, because
scout.
It's real time, the best that's happening is that Captain will be like, Brian, you got to get that scout, and Jeremy, you got to get that bomb. I don't care how you do it. I trust you to get it done. And that's
which is
way
always
different.
The debacle.
Yeah, and that's
and it's hilarious.
It's hilarious. And, you know, and you get to look out a window, and you have to jiggle a mouse. Like,
right.
That's fucking amazing. Like, the game's fun. It's actively challenging. It's well-balanced. It's pretty damn flawless.
I give it a B out of 10.
B out of 10.
It is a full 7 out of 7. I'm going with that.
Full 7 out of 7. I'm a great connoisseur of co-op games. I love, love, love co-op games. The most important thing for a co-op game is it has to be fun to lose, and it has to be possible to lose, and Space Alert is both of those things.
Yes. Yes. We have never gotten around. I bought the expansion. We haven't played any of the expansion stuff. I think we shoveled in some expansion enemies one time, but it's got, like, the campaign mode.
Right.
We actually gain experience
pretty
points
tough,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And I do wish that we had time in our social schedule to actually
do
that. Like,
since we bring it to alternates, we need to all scrub out really hard, really early one time.
That shouldn't be too
and
hard.
Then, yeah, I know. I think we can nail this. And then just play it campaign mode for a while.
It takes literally 10 minutes to play because it's on a 10-minute timer.
Right.
So, you know, and then you just do bookkeeping afterwards, which at most means it takes 20 minutes. So.
Well, it's about a 20 because it records for 10 minutes and then you play it for 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, it's 10 minutes. It's live, real-time 10-minute to play all your actions, and then you have to go through and do the bookkeeping and figure out what the fuck actually happened.
Which is usually something horrible.
Yeah,
usually the ship explodes.
Although, what the first Mayhem Cup, maybe the second Mayhem Cup, we were playing with some Iowans, whatever.
I was in that game.
And we screwed up, but it turned
really
out that if we hadn't screwed up, we would have lost, but the screw up meant we were all in the wrong spot. Like, we were all in the spot we didn't mean to be, but it turned out we were all in the spots we needed to be. So, like, just trained retarded monkeys, we accidentally succeeded.
Oh, I
like
succeeded. Which is pretty much the theory of the game.
We forgot to jiggle the mouse, so we all got delayed a turn into perfect position. Like, if we all would have been doing shit way too early if we hadn't have screwed up.
I've accidentally won that game because I had my cart upside down instead of right side up.
Yeah,
yep. Won the game.
One of my favorite things ever was Jason melting those rods.
Oh, just melt, melt, melt.
I know you have like the classic version of that.
Yeah.
I saw it available at the store. Is that one the same thing?
That is the original game, and I believe it comes with the expansion. So I think it's just a re-release identical game with expansion. Anybody who for some reason hasn't heard of it but does know their board games, it's by Vlada, the guy who does Dungeon Lords and Galaxy Trucker and Through the Ages and the new Mage Knight. So like this guy is like one of the best board game designers in the world right now. So he's trustworthy. All of his shit's good.
Good recommendation.
But,
I agree. It's a great game.
Jason melting rods. By the way, sometimes the most useful thing to do is nothing.
Yeah.
Don't think you have to be productive every turn, because sometimes that means you just used up all the ship's fuel, just venting it into space, and then we all die in the cold vacuum of hell.
Yeah, it'd be like if at work you were doing something that somebody then had to come undo and then do their own job, and then you'd have to redo it. There's no point to it.
Well, it's not even that. It's like if you're at work and you're like, I'm not doing anything. Maybe I should put all of these supplies through the shredder.
Right.
That way I'm doing something.
Yep.
And doing something's good. So you
productive.
Just shred all the stuff, and then they come in like, hey, we need those order forms. You're like, yeah, I shredded them.
or to stand in the elevator.
I'm helpful.
Yeah, the elevator's always
just
time
take
too.
The elevator up and down so nobody else can use it.
Yeah.
Be pretty brilliant.
I'm having fun on the elevator.
My recommendation that I came up with is kind of weird, but I've been having a horrible time getting my car fixed this week.
Yep.
So off of all the mistakes I've made trying to get it fixed, I kind of wanted to give a quick rundown of if your car breaks down, some ideas to get you going without getting you destroyed by mechanics. So my car broke down, and I got it into a Subway parking lot, and I panicked because I didn't want it to get towed away from there, so I towed it to a car dealership. And it took them days and days and days to come up with a quote that's double the value of the repair, including a part that they're trying to charge four times as much as eBay. So what I finally have worked out is my step one was to call a mechanic you know and trust if possible. So in my case, I called my cousin who actually I don't really trust him because he's only just out of mechanic school. But
I trust him not to make shit up. You don't trust him to know what he's doing, but
I
trust him not to screw you.
Okay. Call somebody that is not going to profit from their decision.
Yeah.
Yes.
And ask them their opinion. I describe my symptoms. My cousin says, oh, that's the clutch. So I called a bunch of different car places and said, how much to replace the clutch on this car? They gave me all their quotes. I'm going to tow my car to the cheapest place now. And I bought the part on eBay.
Yeah.
Now, the part that the dealership was trying to charge me $280 for is $72 on eBay.
Right.
It's $210. So buy the part on eBay, get it to the mechanic that you got the best quote from, let them put it in for you.
Get the quotes in the first place.
Get the quotes in the first place, because now I had to tow my car to that dealership because I panicked, and now I have to tow it back to that place. So I lost $65. And the worst thing is I might have been able to make my car to the place I got it towed to, but now I definitely can't get the car from where I had it towed to the place.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The panicking's part of it. Like, yep. It's, stay calm. All these situations
Get
some options. Like, and just think for a second. Like, you know, how bad is the mass transit in your city? How far is work? Like, if work is 3 miles away,
I've had no problem.
An hour earlier and walk.
I've had no problem getting a ride to work every day because everybody comes in at the same time. I just ride with somebody.
Yeah, you might get a ride or
I have to beg rides from people, and it sucks, and I hate it. I hate being reliant on other people.
It's the worst.
But paying double for a repair because you hate being reliant on people is stupid.
Yeah. Right. It's I can't worth
afford
a grand
it.
To be.
I cannot afford it.
Your pride's not worth that grand. No. You know?
That's why one thing I'm from a smaller town. In a smaller town, we knew which mechanics were better. Right. Whereas when you're in a bigger town, you have all these mechanics and you just assume they're all going to screw you.
They all are going to screw you, so you just got to get the screwed the least. And that's by calling every single one of them.
Yep.
Or not every one of them, but because then you're getting a good ballpark. Like the first place I went to gave me $1,700. No other place is giving me above $1,250.
Right.
And the winner came in at $940, and that's all of them charging way too much for that part that I bought on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
tried black duct tape
on a clutch. I don't think it's going to work.
No, probably not.
And plus, you got to find a mechanic who won't mind you bringing in the piece.
Right?
You got to imagine some mechanics are like, well, no, we have to provide the piece. Or we don't
That's a dealership will always want the piece because they're making hundreds of dollars on that piece, and they're greedy buttheads.
Yep.
Yeah, well, and this is kind of in
guitar
general,
solo.
There's a guitar solo for Mr. Torg there. not just car, but in general, like if you're in a bad situation, if you can
relax a second, call some people that don't profit from, or you know, you got the internet available.
Hopefully, this won't come up to a lot of people very often. But one of the big examples that I hear about all the time is how amazingly overpriced funeral services are.
Yeah.
Because they know you got a corpse on your hands.
Yeah,
and
you don't know how to deal with it.
You're not mentally sharp right now because you're
and
emotionally
that's the same
unstable.
Thing if your car
you're
down to be
chronologically
$10,000.
Yeah, and you could probably get it done for $2,000 if you bought that like those caskets. If you're like, my grandpa's dad, I need to bury him. They're like, well, caskets are $8,000. Sucks to be you. And in reality, you can get them on eBay.
You could probably get one from wholesale. It sounds cold, but
yeah. I mean, it's.
$8,000 is a lot if it's the same exact product.
Of course, with eBay, with those things, you have to have. I mean, you have a time limit too, so you got.
Well, situation, you have time limit. So.
And you probably want to make sure if you're buying something like that or an auto part on eBay, make sure it's not used.
Right. Yeah.
Especially the coffins.
I was going that morbid. I thought I'd drag us there.
Also, not good to buy used is 6 foot black dildos.
Right.
You want those new?
Well. Have you thought that through?
Depends who. If it was that yoga pants person who used it prior,
then you definitely want it, right?
It's on an episode of Saving Bar Raphael.
Maybe. But yeah, like even you know, if you don't know somebody that doesn't profit from you, a lot of times random internet sites don't. Like I found a place called like Repair Pal or something. You put in the year of your car and what's wrong with it, and it just popped up. The quote you should be getting, and it was really close.
Did you even call? Because there's a shop next Last Square that sells parts.
I probably could have gotten it for $50 more than I got it off of eBay. I'm just going to wait a couple of dollars.
Well, is that a threshold? About, you know, that's I'm sure that store was cheaper than mechanics,
right?
And eBay was cheaper than them, but at some point, X amount of days versus time would be.
Yeah, the parts store probably would have been a good option right away. But once the car dealership kind of screwed me for days and days and days and days, it's like, what's a couple more days at this point?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that logic.
Yeah.
Like luckily, I can walk to work, so if I get that problem, I just can walk to work for a while.
I cannot walk to work.
No.
Well, and then
it's a
45-minute
drive.
The city in the world.
It's true, I do.
The forest. Hey, Raylene's moving out of her place in DeForest. You could have it.
No,
everyone's
okay.
Welcome to come to help Nathan move in a month.
I haven't asked anybody because I
we
know
should, we should Kickstarter move Nathan Funk.
I didn't ask anyone to help me except for very little because if I ask them, then I'm obligated to help them. So I'm right. pretty free, but I might either I help you or I go to Rick's event. I'm not sure which one I want to do less. Sorry, Rick.
Wow.
No, I just it's a silly event, and I just don't know if that format is works for my brain. It seems neat, and I wouldn't mind playing a game like that. But it's got all sorts of points and systems and weird things, and I'm not good at math.
I don't know, you're the guy who just breaks those weird events half the time.
That's the other thing. I honestly do break those events, and
you make it like a job. It's not like an enjoyable.
It's
experience.
It's not fun. I would go there. I'd break the event. I'd win the event. It wasn't worth my time. I mean, I feel bad about it, but I do break those events whenever you have weird things that go on, and yeah. I always feel bad afterwards.
Is there anything on your phone that you can find that's worth your attention, Brian?
No, I'm just...
He's just swiping every screen.
I'm watching my battery life go down 1% every, 5 seconds as I'm doing this. I've lost a bunch of percent. Anyway.
Well, there we go. So, everybody, did you do a recommend? Oh, yeah, you sniped golf. Sniped the thing. So that's everybody. Hooray for us. That was kind of G-rated. I'll call my brother and see if Connor can listen to that.
It was fucking pretty good.
Yeah. I think if he skips the first 20 minutes,
Nathan,
he'll be fine.
And the last
Nathan,
20 in that middle
we
hour.
You haven't insulted the country. How do you feel?
I insulted Illinois. Who
he didn't insult Illinois.
That's making fun of fucking fibs is not an insult. It's just
did
a
I
thriller.
Mention that Rome's awful?
No.
Because Rome is fucking awful. Yeah,
also not
that.
A country.
No, that's true. That's not a country. And Italy is a wonderful country. Like, if you go into Europe and, like, the Tuscany and all those areas are great. But Rome is the most hellish cesspool on the goddamn planet, because it's everything bad about big cities and none of the good things about good big cities. Like, it's just sewage and wild cats and gypsies and slime and crime and overpriced garbage, and it's awful.
That's the only
without
place
anything to do.
So just like Illinois,
what you have to do is you go to these like statues, like you go to the Trevi Fountain. You're like, okay, I'll go enjoy Trevi Fountain, and then you go there and you're accosted by gypsies trying to sell you shit, and it's awful. Like, was it you who was talking about like the rose thing?
Yeah.
Katie, yeah. Like, they're literally just, like, having a culture based on thievery and bullying people is adorable when it's in books, but not when you're doing it to me in the modern era.
Well, they'll catch your hand and be like, oh, man, you took this flower or whatever that they
now
have.
You owe me a euro.
Now you owe me a euro, and if you try not to pay them, then all of a sudden you're just, like, surrounded by gypsies.
Yeah.
They just, like, come out
and then
of
they curse you, and suddenly you're in a Stephen King movie?
No, they don't curse you. They stab you to death. Like, yeah. I was in the subway there, and this, like, six-year-old gypsy girl came on with a Casio keyboard set to demo, and she randomly slapped the keys and made the most horrible noise I've ever heard around in my life. And then she went up and down the subway car with this, like, open milk carton demanding money because her 7-foot-tall, 5-foot-wide behemoth of a cousin was behind her. So you had to give her money or else you would be killed.
It's also the only place I've ever been where somebody has ran into me and then ranted at me for like a good minute and a half about how I should apologize and not be so rude.
Obviously.
That's...
Don't go to Rome. It's awful.
Valid point.
I only follow where they go on Eurotrip when I go to Europe. That's my only.
That
I follow that
amazing.
Exact. That is how I learn about Europe. It's all
I
my
didn't
knowledge.
Expect that movie to be as amazing as it was. It like is, I'm like, oh, it's just some dumb teen movie, and then I saw it and it was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, it has a great cameo by Matt Damon.
Does. Matt Damon's amazing in that movie.
Better or worse than in Team America?
That's a tough one, but
toss up.
He doesn't. His song is better in Eurotrip.
His song is better in Eurotrip.
Yep.
All right.
So we're at what, 2.5 hours?
No. Give or take? Hour 45. That's a little long. So it's time to wrap things up.
And this is we're on Crippled System, episode 22. Thank you for listening.
No.
God damn it, Jim.
Fucking 21.
You guys led him to the intro. I knew he was all excited to say 22 instead of 21.
Yeah. We all knew he was saying that.
When Jim volunteered to do the intro, you know there's a trap.
I didn't volunteer. Somebody volunteered.
I volunteered him.
So it's Katie's fault.
Done.
Is everything my fault this week?
Yep.
Oh. Well, to be fair, Saturday was legitimately your fault, so then it just followed.
Here's a little bonus track for everybody. This is what normally gets cut out at the very beginning before we give our intro.
And we're going to try to be quick in the intros and get into the nonsense later.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, Jim, you're on.
I'm on.
Yeah, he hit record.
I'm on. Okay, I'm a little bit closer.
Get a little bit closer. Wasn't there like a gum commercial or something?
Let me get everybody's voices all going.
Jeremy. We're going to intro.
We're going to intro.
Sorry, am I interrupting the intro?
No, I got the big red jingle in my head.
Yeah, but that's not the one I'm thinking of.
So kiss a little longer. Stay close a little longer.
It's the double
kiss
one.
Yeah, isn't that double?
Yeah, because you're not going to want to kiss Cinnamon Face, are you?
Yeah, you are.
Really?
Big
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Kiss yeah, double mint was double your pleasure, double your fun.
Yeah, with the twins.
Yeah, the twins.
The twins.
Yeah.
Although I heard a parody of that song in a porno once, so now I can't hear the double pleasure, double your fun. Put one in your pussy and one in your bun. Give it a wiggle. Give it a bend. With double dildo, you sleep with a friend.
Oh. And so welcome to episode 21 of Crippled System.
We can't start like that.
Why couldn't we?
We don't want to.
We
offend
could.
Anyone.
We just, you know, if my mom wants to try and give our show another listen and prefer that
that's
the
true.
First.
Also, on a side note, my brother told me that he likes our podcast, but he wants my nephew to listen to it, so we have to have a G-rated episode.
Like G-spot?
Yeah.
Episode 10 was pretty G.
Yeah, episode 10
G-string.
Was pretty
listenable. Yeah, right. It covers everything up.
Kenny G.
So
Kenny G-spot.
Jim.
Right. We should, yeah.
Ready?
Yeah. Ready.
Do it.
All right.